single day, ellismania.com. And we will see you next week. And Ellis Mania will be back, I'm sure, here on The Virus.
This concludes not necessarily the best of the Jason Ellis Show.
I'm very proud of you, son.
Yeah.
Very proud.
Thanks, Mom.
The Jason Ellis Show.
Listen again next Saturday, 7 p.m. Eastern, for another presentation of the future on Sirius 197 XM 202. The Virus.
The 2009 NASCAR Sprint Cup Series Chase Field will soon be set, and Sirius NASCAR Radio takes you trackside. When the checkers wave at Richmond, you'll hear from all 12 of the 2009 Chase competitors live. Then, Chocolate Myers and Rick Benjamin will take you live to the Hard Rock Cafe in Times Square on Thursday, September 17th, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern. They'll be joined by all 12 drivers for a party you won't want to miss. The world's only broadcasting outlet covering NASCAR 24/7, 365. Sirius NASCAR Radio, Channel 128.
Did you know that tap water in your home may be hazardous? Not to your health, but to your appliances and your wallet. Your home's hard water creates pipe-clogging lime scale, and that can shorten the life of your water heater, ruin your dishwasher, and break down your washing machine. Lime scale deposits block the heating element, which costs you up to 25% more. That's an extra $1,200 a year in energy and wear. But you can remove limescale without chemicals, magnets, or salts. It's easy with HydraCare, the patented device used worldwide. See for yourself at softwater123.com. You simply clip HydraCare to your main water pipe. HydraCare removes and prevents limescale buildup in your entire plumbing system, guaranteed. If your home has hard water, extend the life of your appliances and save money with HydraCare. Just go to softwater123.com. Lower your energy costs. Visit softwater123.com. That's softwater123.com.
Overwhelmed with credit card debt? President Obama recently signed the stimulus plan to re-energize our troubled economy. But where was the bailout for the general public struggling with credit card debt? Fortunately, if you owe $10,000 or more to credit card companies, there actually is a program that can help. Call Consumer Debt Advocate for a free consultation and assistance. The toll-free number is 1-800-992-7567. If you have debt of $10,000 or more, you may begin calling now. This debt assistance program is available for members of the public in serious need of debt relief. The consultation is free, courtesy of Consumer Debt Advocate. The toll-free number is 1-800-992-7567. This debt relief program has already helped thousands of people just like you save thousands of dollars and get much-needed debt relief. Listeners with debt of $10,000 or more needing credit card relief are urged to call immediately for a free consultation. This is a confidential call. The toll-free number is 1-800-992-7567. Again, 1-800-992-7567.
It's been a childhood dream to own your own business, your company, your vision, your risk. Get your business started right by forming a corporation or LLC. BizFilings.com will protect your assets and keep you in the game. For your free guide to incorporation, visit BizFilings.com. BizFilings.com. Incorporate your dream.
You know, LegalZoom has been vital in helping so many to protect their families with wills and trusts. But remember, you can also save a bundle when you visit LegalZoom for incorporations, trademarks, patents, real estate, even small claims, and uncontested divorce. LegalZoom isn't a law firm, but was started by top attorneys to provide self-help services at your specific direction. And for even more savings, enter SiriusXM in the referral box to checkout. LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Attention CDL drivers. Are you satisfied with the benefits your employer offers? At YRC Glenmore, you can get the best benefits in the industry, as well as great pay, great miles, great home time, and work with a carrier that respects its employees. Call or apply online today. Positions require at least 1 year OTR experience, good driving record, and a hazmat endorsement. Call YRC Glenmore at 866-280-0663, 866-280-0663, or apply online at yrcglenmore.com. Equal opportunity employer.
The Virus
is an XL channel which may contain explicit language. Channel blocking is available by calling 1-800-XM-RADIO or for XM Canada, 877-438-9677.
Saturday Night Virus begins now.
This is as disorganized as it comes.
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valve, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent of Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease. So I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve.
It's weird medicine or in Hungarian. Forcha Orvosag. Welcome to our first pre-recorded three-hour weird medicine fecalicious extravaganza. It's poop-tastic. We'll answer your medical questions, talk about testicles and other things that John likes to lick, and basically wax eloquent about the state of healthcare today. This is a show for people who would never listen to a medical show on the radio. I'm Dr. Steve with my little pal, P.A. John. Hello, John.
Hold on. I'm licking something over here.
We have with us in the studio Jefferson, the attorney.
Hold on. I'm getting licked over here.
We've got double vasectomy Todd, the man with depleted uranium tubes in his scrotum.
Howdy, howdy.
And we also have our studio audience. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
That's Susie, Rob, and Charlie, also known as Small Fry on the boards. Charlie is a fan of ironic screen names because he's anything but small. Anyway, good feller, though. Glad to have him here. Welcome to the first and still only uncensored medical program in the history of radio. If you're new to this show, we try to deal with medical problems honestly, with plain language, and with no limitations regarding content. If you have a medical question and you might be embarrassed to take it to your regular medical provider, give us a shout at drsteve202@gmail.com, or better yet, visit the Weird Medicine Forum at ronfez.net or call our voicemail line at 423-343-8884. That's 423. John.
Die, Tootie.
He's still doing some licking or something. We're also on Twitter at Weird Medicine, and you can buy our crappy merchandise at cafepress.com/weirdmedicine, where we have the logos done by Matt Hoffman, and we also have the famous I Heart Rim Jobs hat that was popularized on the Ron and Fez show. Or you could go to the Weird Medicine drugstore at drsteve.com. Just follow the links. And it's just stupid. So, please remember, we're not your healthcare providers. Check out anything you hear from us from your regular doctor, PA, nurse practitioner, acupuncturist, yoga instructor, chiropractor, high colonic administrator, or whatever. So, so there you go. What we got? Whoops. Boy, hell. The new Weird Medicine studio
is already falling apart.
Hopefully that won't happen again. My mic just turned upside down.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we'll keep it going.
Todd was late today. We were supposed to start about, 40 minutes ago. But you guys went to see Inglourious Basterds?
Oh, yeah. Great film.
Really?
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, you loved it. Now, is this Tarantino's great opus or his great war film, or what do you think?
I don't know. I don't know if it's a war film. I mean, it's certainly set in a war and about a war, but I felt more like a foreign film to me.
Really?
I think he wanted to make a foreign film.
Explain.
Well, a lot of subtitles. It's a lot more subtle, a lot more dialogue. It's not a shoot 'em up, kind of blow 'em up thing. A little bit of that going on, and no spoilers, but it's a lot more subtle than what you're used to from him, except when it's not, and then it's just straight Tarantino right over the top.
Yeah.
Okay. But I loved it.
I ended up, instead of seeing Inglourious Basterds, taking the kids to see G.I. Joe. Holy crap. I will never get those 2 hours of my life back. And I usually don't say I can usually find something good in anything that I see. It was just egregious how awful it was.
Yeah, it was Swiss cheese with holes, wasn't it?
Now, let me tell you something. There was a lot of talent went into making that film. That's the thing that bothers me. But, I mean, the special effects and the action were insane. It just, there was absolutely, I mean, it's a kid's movie, but with needles going into people's brains and stuff. I don't know what their audience was supposed to be.
No, I don't know either.
But although it did pretty well, so I guess there are some adults that are going to see it. But this isn't weird entertainment. It's weird medicine. But, you know, I just had to get that out. The I think my kids were probably traumatized. They really wanted to go. And I know my six-year-old was a little creeped out by some of the...
Was it PG?
Yeah. But, you know, so was Transformers. And they did okay in Transformers. Yeah. It was just fun. And this was just... I mean, they were sticking... transforming people, and you know, whenever they shrivel down and you see the skull and their skin's boiling and all that kind of stuff, it's just a little bit much for a little kid. So yeah. It's my own fault for taking them. I should have checked it out first. So I was a crappy parent. I'm not so upset at all about, you know, them wanting to go, but for me, for taking them.
I wish I'd have thought about it and warned you.
Well, we
should have friend for not warning you.
We should have gone to G-Force or something.
Yeah, that'll be an Oscar winner there.
But anyway, the one thing that does tell me though is that you can do anything in movies now. I mean, if they can think of it, they can show it on the mm-hmm. screen and make it look pretty real. So now we just got to get some decent writing, and we'll have some. We've got the potential for some great movies.
Mm-hmm.
I really like District 9. I thought, and that's. Spaceship hanging over Johannesburg looked absolutely real.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
Yeah, and there was never a time when I looked at that, so that looks fake, so it was cool. Okay, well, let's get on to some things. We are practicing for our November 6th show. We've been plugging the October 24th show. Mm-hmm. It turns out that we can't do it then, so
no.
We are going to... It is absolutely official. We're not changing it unless one of us dies. Or get sick, that we are doing our live show from the Mecca at 1221 Avenue of the Americas in New York City on November 6th. So that will be a live show from 9 to midnight on the Saturday Night Virus, and we're very excited about that. So
yep.
Hang, you know, and if anybody wants to get on that night, if you have some interesting topics or anything like that, give us a call at 423-343-8884. And we'll get you set up so that we can get you on. And, you know, we're going to have some guests, and we're going to take a crap load of phone calls, and it's really going to be good. We had a whole lot of bit ideas that have been knocked down by the lawyers. You know, when we were at XM, we'd do anything we pretty much wanted to. I mean, we were sticking our fingers in homeless people's asses and Roland's ass and... Pat Duffy's ass, and it was kind of a little bit monotonous, sort of the same bit. Oh, and Big A.
Big A.
Yeah, Big A.
But we had some ideas for some other bits that included body fluids and stuff like that, and all the body fluid stuff and penetration is out. So
no kidding.
I don't know what we're going to be able to do. One of the things that you remember when we did that bit about the old medical terms for... mentally retarded people were moron, imbecile, and what was the third one?
John.
It was idiot. Wasn't it?
Yeah, idiot, yeah. Moron, and imbecile. And so I thought maybe we could do an IQ test on Bobo and see if he's an idiot, an imbecile, or a moron. But, you know, that's just not up to snuff when it comes to our history of doing a rectal exam on Tippy Tom. So
at the end of the day, nothing's more fun than penetration.
I know. So the other thing we could do is I've got a new batch of wine, and we could just bring it and let them open it while we're standing there and take it up the ass for 45 minutes. That would be the other thing that we could do. But we really had some cool ideas, and we're still working on them, so we'll see. We always try to do at least one thing to plug the show on Opie and Anthony the day before, so that'd be November 6th. But we'll try to come up with something.
We will. We'll come up with something.
It's just we came up with some great stuff. It's just whether the lawyers will let us do it or not. Well, let's... Tacy is downstairs getting her colonoscopy right now, or getting her colonoscopy prep done. Sorry.
I'm leaving. Hold on. I'll be back.
Home visit? Wow.
She's getting a colonoscopy tomorrow, and thought it would be a good time to talk about the colonoscopies again. I think we talked about them the first or second live show we did. It was a couple of years ago. And, you know, if you have a change in your bowel habits, a colonoscopy is something that you can get done, usually will be covered by insurance. And if you don't have insurance, it may be an issue. But almost every doctor's office will cut you a deal because they're overcharging everybody, the cash-paying patients, because Medicare dictates what they can charge. So you're going to charge the max so you can get the most from Medicare, and you end up really overcharging the cash-paying patients. So you can usually go to one of these doctors and get them to cut you a deal. Say, I'm a cash-paying patient. Can I pay in installments, and can you give me a discount? And most of these places, if you hunt around, you can find somebody with a sliding scale even, mm-hmm. especially at a university. So you can get it done. But a change in bowel habits, black stool, blood in the stool, all of those things are indications for a colonoscopy, chronic abdominal pain. I said change in the bowel habits, right?
Yes.
And also a family history of colon cancer. So if you have someone in your family that had colon cancer at age 45 and they're a first-degree relative, that's mother, father, brother, sister, then you can have your colonoscopy done 10 years before they were diagnosed. So you would have your first colonoscopy done at age 35 or at age 50, whichever one comes earlier. Okay. The prep is the worst part. You have to clean your bowel out. They can't stick a tube up there with a bunch of turds and try to see something because it's a fiber optic tube and it just ruins the view, okay, in a lot of so you have to clean out your bowel. So they'll give you instructions for a bowel prep, and the most common one used to be the Fleet's phosphosoda. They've taken that off of the outside counters. I think you can still get it up by prescription, and that's what No Filter Paul drank that day on Opie and Anthony, where he drank it at the K-Rock Studios and then walked over to XM and then shit himself all over the floor wearing a diaper.
Oh.
And they put Club Soda Kenny in front of the door and said, if you can get by him, you can go to the bathroom. Otherwise, you're going to shit yourself right here. It was a classic moment.
Yeah.
But the thing is that worked really fast. Within about an hour to 2 hours, it would clean you out. And now they're using a lot of the magnesium citrate, and it just takes longer. But it's the prep. The prep, you've got to clean yourself out. So I remember when I did mine, basically I took the Fleet's phosphosoda, and it wasn't an hour later. I was basically, the stuff coming out of my ass was coming out with such force that I could have hit the back wall of this studio if I just bent over and gave it a good try, you know. The very last time, you would take two doses of this stuff, and the very last time, I evacuated at least a gallon of fluid from my bowels, and when I stood up and looked down at the pot, it was as clear as a mountain stream.
Wow.
That's how amazing this stuff is. So then, when you get there, the next day, they just put you on your side, stick an IV in, give you some goofy juice, you blink, and it's over. The procedure itself, there's nothing to it. Now, of course, I did mine without anesthesia, and that is your choice. But I did it because I don't like being goofy for 2 days from the anesthesia. But and you wake up from the anesthesia thinking that you're okay, and you're really not.
Right, right.
And but you can choose to do it without anesthesia. It's just painful and feels like you've got to take that your colon is full of bullets and you have to shit them out right then, and you can.
Your colon's full of air, right?
Yeah, but they use air to blow it up, so to inflate it, so that they can see all sides of it as they move the tube in and out.
They're in a 6-foot tube.
Yeah, yeah, and then when they pull it out, you just fart just the most titanic, unbelievably loud and long, prolonged farts that you've ever could imagine.
But do they smell? Because you don't have any poo in there.
No, nothing. And, you know, this other thing, just to bring something up about these commercials you see on TV and the internet about pounds and pounds of fecal matter that's caked on the side of your bowel, it's complete bullshit. No pun intended. There is, when you take the colonoscopy prep, anyone who's ever done a colonoscopy knows that it's a lie because you stick the tube up there and there's nothing but mucosal tissue. You know, just very beautiful and pink, as beautiful as something that encased 7 pounds of turds a few hours ago could possibly be.
So these commercials we hear on radio and TV, it's take this herbal pill or whatever and you can lose 10 to 25 pounds of...
Well, you can. You can lose some weight, but it's what happens is you lose a lot of fluid. Some of these laxatives will actually draw fluid in from the body and dump it into the colon. And so every pound of that fluid that you lose, you will lose quote-unquote weight. You're not losing fat, though.
Right.
And the... and
they're
it'll
talking
just,
about caked up crap, like 25 pounds of crap.
They claim you're losing, that you're losing otherwise impacted crap.
Yeah, now, if you're impacted, yes, if you have chronic constipation, then taking a laxative every once in a while or just increasing the fiber in your diet to get it out of there is an okay thing to do. And so if you've got a colon full of concrete and then you get rid of that, then yes, but those people are constipated. It's not people who are having normal bowel movements every day and somehow they've got this caked, leathery accretions in their bowel. It's just not true. Now, if you're talking about someone who's advertising on XM202 right now, then I'm not talking about them. We're talking about everyone else.
Or Sirius 197.
Right, exactly. Nope. All right. Well, so that's what Tacy's doing. And I'm sure she's thrilled that we're talking about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But she's going to have her colonoscopy tomorrow, and then hopefully everything will be okay after that. And 90-some percent of the colonoscopies that are done don't show anything scary, so it's a good thing to do and to set your mind at ease. And colon cancer takes 5 to 10 years to form. So if you have a clean colonoscopy, you're good for 10 years. You don't have to really worry about colon cancer after that, unless you've got some genetic thing like familial polyposis, and those are people that have a colon full of polyps, and they know it, and they have to get a colonoscopy done every year. But for everybody else, if you got a clean colonoscopy, you're pretty much good for 10 years.
And if they find something small, can't they go ahead and fix it?
Absolutely. Great point. If they find a little precancerous polyp, and some of the polyps are precancerous, some of them aren't. But if they find one, they can cut it out right then and there and be done with it. And as long as it doesn't show actual cancer cells, if it's just precancerous cells, then they can cut it out with the colonoscope and you're done. So the key to cancer is catching it early and getting rid of it early and treating it before it becomes a problem. And if you can do that, it's absolutely treatable. And so testicular cancer, good example of that, finding those nut nodules early. Colon cancer, great example of that. If we did colonoscopies on all the people that were at risk, we could really decrease the rate of cancer deaths from colon cancer. So, All right, let's answer some questions. We've we're 15 minutes in, haven't answered the first question yet.
Hey, Dr. Steve, this is Dave. Heard you on the Bob Rivers Show in Seattle, and I've got a personal question for you.
Okay, first off, I guess I better explain that part. There is a producer. There's a show out in Seattle. It's a terrestrial show called The Bob Rivers Show. I don't know anything about it, but one of their producers is an XM202 fan, and they needed a doctor to do a segment, and he went to our website because he'd heard us on 202, so I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that's very cool.
So anyway, so that's the story of that.
And this is serious. I'm not fooling around. The woman that I'm seeing is 49 years old, and she takes Zoloft. For some reason, she can't seem to have an orgasm, and she jokes around that she may not have a clitoris anymore. Could this have anything to do with the Zoloft? Because I'm willing to try just about anything. Thanks a lot. I hope to hear back from you.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the biggest known side effects that causes lifestyle dysfunction in antidepressants are sexual is sexual dysfunction. It can cause decreased libido. In other words, it can decrease your sex drive. Can cause delayed orgasm or a condition where you can't have an orgasm at all called anorgasmia. And apparently, this occurs because the SSRI antidepressants, those are selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors like Zoloft, Paxil, Celexa, Prozac, all increase the amount of serotonin, this chemical called serotonin, in the brain. Okay, so hence the term selective serotonin. And then what they do is in the brain cells, you release serotonin and then you suck it back up again. Okay, release it and suck it back up again, release it and suck it back up again. And then with the reuptake inhibitor, you release it, but then you can't suck it back up again, so it just builds up in the brain. Okay.
Yep.
Now, serotonin is a chemical. The more of it that you have, the less depressed you're going to be. But also, when you get an imbalance between the chemical serotonin and another chemical in the brain called dopamine, this causes sexual dysfunction. It causes all the things that we talked about. And I can speak from personal experience. I was on a serotonin norepinephrine reuptake inhibitor. And this is one that should have caused less sexual dysfunction because it didn't just work on the serotonin. It worked on another chemical called norepinephrine, which is noradrenaline. So it's kind of like adrenaline.
Okay.
And increasing that gives you a little energy, makes you feel more peppy, and decreases the fatigue that you get from depression and all those things. I was taking it for chronic abdominal pain. And when I was on this stuff, sex, last thing on my mind.
Really?
You know, and then it became where I got obsessed with it because I wasn't thinking about it.
Right. You were thinking about not thinking about it.
I was thinking about not thinking about it, exactly. So I became kind of obsessed with it and would try to think of things that would excite me in a sexual way, and it was really frustrating. And as far as the delayed ejaculation, I can certainly speak toward that. Mm-hmm. And that's for real. And just about everybody who's ever been on Prozac or Zoloft or any of the big ones can attest to that.
Which one was she on? Did he say?
Zoloft.
Zoloft. What would be a different or maybe an alternative that she would maybe consider?
Well, we talked about dopamine and serotonin. There is a dopamine an antidepressant that kind of works on the dopamine system, which is called Wellbutrin.
Okay.
Or bupropion. And sometimes if you get somebody that has really bad sexual dysfunction, but they're otherwise doing okay as far as their depression is concerned, then you'll just add the Wellbutrin to that. So you'll be taking two medications, the Zoloft and the Wellbutrin together. You always kind of hate to add another medication to treat the side effects of a different medication.
Right.
That always just seems like bad form. But it could be worth doing, and that combination is pretty effective.
Yeah, because I'd be depressed if I didn't ever want to. You know, even if I wasn't depressed, I'd be depressed if I didn't ever want to have sex.
Yeah. Now, people with premature ejaculation, sometimes they'll put them on an SSRI, type antidepressant to prolong their ejaculatory response so that they won't have premature ejaculation.
Well, that happened to me when I was taking, I don't know, citronellapram or whatever the hell it was.
Citronella.
I thought you'd like that.
Citalopram.
Yeah, I was taking it, and even when
That's generic for Celexa.
Oh, that's Celexa. Okay. Yeah. Well, no, I noticed that when I was on that, I could just go, never felt like having an orgasm, and didn't really care.
Yeah. Well, you're young, and so maybe that was good for you.
It was fun.
At my age, it just kind of sucks.
Made me popular.
Yeah. Oh, did it really?
Well,
when was it that you were ever popular? I don't remember when that was.
Busted.
See, I'm on one.
This is Susie, by the way, Todd's friend.
Yeah. I'm on one called Prestique, and it actually doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah. Now, Prestique is one of the newer ones.
Yeah.
Effexor. Cymbalta and Prestique are in that group of the SNRIs.
Okay.
And Prestique is actually Effexor, that it's just the right-hand molecule of Effexor. So it's called dexvenlafaxine. It doesn't really matter. No test on it after we're done. But it's a cleaner drug than the Effexor. Mm-hmm. We used to call Effexor side Effexor when it first came out because it had so many side effects that it's so hard to get off. But I'm really kind of digging the Prestique. Mm-hmm. Most of my patients have done really well on it.
I like it a lot. It works really well.
Good. Good. And you haven't noticed any sexual side effects?
Not at all.
Okay. So that might be something that, and obviously, take all of what we say with a grain of salt. We're not really making recommendations. As a matter of fact, I think this is a pretty wise.
Number one thing, don't take advice from some asshole on the radio.
Okay. So we're not necessarily recommending that this guy have his wife change her antidepressant. It may be the perfect thing for her otherwise. But she should talk to her doctor about it and might be a candidate for switching to one of these other medications.
Yeah, sounds like she should just ask some informed questions.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So anyway, all right.
Of course, it also depends on how old she is. Because if
49.
She may be... Is that what he said?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, so she may be going through some menopause things as well, and you're going to lose your libido with that, too. So she may need some hormone stuff. I mean, there's a lot of things that it could be besides just the medication at that point.
Yeah, okay.
So at that age.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely talking with her doctor.
And here's the thing, is people will call a radio show and ask about sexual side effects with their medication, and a lot of times, if you really drill down to it, they haven't talked to their doctor about it because they're embarrassed. Mm-hmm. Your doctor's office is one of those few places where you can be totally honest, because in general, you're not going to be judged. So if you've got a sexual, and really the doctor should be asking, but a lot of doctors are also, they're humans and are, you know, don't want to offend their patients, so they won't ask them, how's your sex life? But it's part of the history that we should be taking as doctors, so that patients know it's okay. But I'm just telling you, it's okay to talk to your doctor about your sex life, and especially if medication that they're giving you is affecting it in an adverse way. Do something about it. It's okay.
And unless you're into necrophilia, that's just not really cool.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that might be something you'd want to talk to your lawyer about. Is that against the law, Jefferson?
No.
Is it not?
I mean, yeah, it sure is. Yeah.
What's the punishment, though? I mean, last time I checked, it was like something like $50 fine or something like that, some ridiculously low thing.
It's cheaper than a hooker.
I would think the punishment would be the act itself.
Thank you.
Yeah, really. Unless, let's go get us a couple of cold ones after.
I don't have any clients that have ever discussed that with me.
That you're allowed to talk about.
Yeah.
All right, you remember? You remember this lady?
What are you? I'm talking to you. Tell me what to do with this problem.
Well, it sounded to us that she was running away from something, and talking on her cell phone, which she didn't really sound like maybe she would know how to work a cell phone, but
no.
And then she called back.
Again, because I never did hear back from him. And I didn't know if he was going to answer my question or not.
And again, so we were like, what question?
On my mind, and I was hoping that she could...
So she calls back, right?
Again?
Yes. And this time actually has a question.
Yeah, that's on her mind.
You're kidding me.
Yes. So...
a question on her mind.
Why even you never did answer my other question? And but I did have another one for you. Is that old Sari Palin, has she done saying that they was going to convene some kind of death panels and put all those old folks, put us away? Well, I was wondering if you thought that was really going to happen. Cause I don't like that old Sari Palin, but I like... I don't know if I want Obama to put me... in a death panel or not. So if you could answer my question, that'd be good.
Well, anyway, I think she probably listens to our terrestrial show. I doubt she's an XM listener, but it's a good question.
Yeah. Who would have thought she was politically aware?
I know. Well, what she heard was, they're going to put you in a death panel, Granny, and then she's like, oh, hell.
Yeah.
I'm calling Dr. Steve.
he'll fix it.
You're kind of like Ghostbusters.
You guys heard about this, right?
Right.
I mean, all this stuff about these quote-unquote death panels. And let's just get this straight. It was a dumb idea. I think it was a dumb idea. What they were doing was coming up with a procedure code. And let's talk a little bit about how doctors bill and then where this came from. The way doctors bill for the services that they do is they see the patient, document it in some way, and then come up with a code. And the codes were initially designed just for research purposes. But, of course, the government is using them to see what we're doing. Okay?
Of course.
So there will be a code for common cold, and then a code for hypertension, and a code for diabetes. So, like, diabetes is 250.00, and then type 1 diabetes is 250.01, and type 2 diabetes is 250.02. Again, doesn't matter, but just so that you get an idea. So there are these codes. Right. And there are also counseling codes that you can use to say how many minutes you counseled somebody. And then you charge an office visit. So if I do 35 minutes of counseling and that's all that I do, then I'm allowed to charge a certain procedure code. So you'll have the diagnosis code and the procedure code, and you get paid based on the amount of work that you do. Okay,
right.
Does that make sense? Am I
right?
Yeah,
the lay people out there, it makes sense, right?
Sure.
So what they did in this bill was just come up with a procedure code for counseling people on end of life issues. So right. If I had a conversation with John about his living will, then I would write down that I did 35 minutes of counseling and then give them the procedure code so that they would know it was for end-of-life care.
Gotcha.
That's it.
Right. And that's, you were having that conversation before the code came out, or now, before anybody was checking
it,
right?
Already. This is what pisses me off about this, is it's such a dumb idea, because really what the government wanted to do that I can figure is that they just wanted to see how many times we're talking to people about it. So they wanted to come up with a new code that would identify this.
Mm-hmm.
But we're already talking to people about death and dying. We do. I mean, I'm a palliative medicine doctor, so that's all I do all day long, you know,
right.
is in the
right.
in the hospital. And we already have codes that we can charge. It's just that the government has to infer what we're doing based on the diagnosis code that I use. So if I use a code that's terminal cancer, then they can kind of infer that I'm doing end-of-life counseling.
And the sure. fact you're into palliative care.
That's right, and I actually have a code for that, too.
Right.
So this is all this was just a way for them to be able to do some research and see how many people are actually doing end-of-life, and to encourage people to talk about advanced directives. An advanced directive is nothing more than just you sitting down and saying in advance what you want done if you can't speak for yourself. If you have a massive stroke or you're in a coma or whatever, hey, if I'm in a coma and it's permanent, I don't want to be resuscitated if my heart stops, and you put that down on paper, that's an advanced directive. You can do it with a lawyer, but Jefferson will be pissed for me to say that you don't need a lawyer to do it.
No, and in fact, I do a ton of them, but a lot of the questions they ask are not appropriate for me. It's stuff they need to go over with their doctor.
Yeah, yeah.
But, a large portion of my business is estate planning.
Right.
And so I do power of attorneys, wills, living wills, medical directives, all that. So
yeah,
but
you want to give out your number or was
no?
That
but
a...
I'm just saying, when it comes to those type of issues, I think those are better done in a doctor's office
sure.
than even in my office.
Sure, and in the state of Tennessee and most other states, you don't need even a notary to do it. You just
right.
need two signatures of people who wouldn't benefit from your death.
Yeah, they can't be a healthcare provider or
no, they can be a healthcare provider. They can't be
a family member.
Can't be a blood relative, and they can't be in your will or otherwise benefit from your death. But yeah, it used to be you couldn't be a healthcare provider, but they've changed that, and I think that's pretty much most states they've fixed that one. Because if you don't have that and you're doing a living will on somebody in the hospital, then they have to go get a couple of goober heads from the lobby to bring them up to your room to co-sign your living will. And there's nothing worse than that if you've got pancreatic cancer and you're doing a living will, which is a serious thing, to have two clowns from that they just yanked out of the lobby to come up and co-sign your living will for you because they've got to watch you sign.
Right. Yeah.
So, but anyway, so that's there. But by putting this in, they've opened themselves up to this whole thing. Well, what they're pushing is rationing of care for the elderly and death and dying. They're going to have these panels where you come in and these people will decide whether you get the treatment that you're supposed to get or not.
Yeah, that's scary sounding. And it was meant to be scary sounding. I think right. When they put it out, they wanted to freak everybody out.
Yeah. But that's all it is simply a procedure code that we as doctors and other healthcare providers can use to document the fact that we did a discussion on living wills. And Medicare will pay for it.
But for purposes of this show, this caller needs to know that Sari Palin, as she says,
Sari Palin,
wants her to die.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's just make that clear. Sari Palin, if you're listening and you're over 80, Sari Palin wants you to die.
That was Jefferson the lawyer.
I'm so glad you're here to clear that stuff up for us.
No problem.
You're listening to Weird Medicine on XM202, Sirius 197. If you have a medical question, we are not live. This is pre-recorded. But we can get it on the air. Call us at 423-343-8884. That's 423.
Die, Tootie.
Or you can email us at drsteve202@gmail.com or check out our Twitter at twitter.com/weirdmedicine. Also, check out our crappy crap that we have for sale at CafePress/WeirdMedicine. And also the Weird Medicine store at drsteve.com. So let's see here. One thing I just wanted to throw out is, we've got some questions coming up on healthcare reform, so we'll get to that. Let's try this one.
Hi, Dr. Steve. My name is David, and I'm out of San Francisco. I have a question. Lately, as I've been removing and going to the bathroom, and my feces, and it looks green. And every time as I wipe my or clean up after myself, it's green. And I was wondering what could the reason it could be. Thank you very much. And I look hopefully forward to hearing my question on the air and hearing the answer. Thank you very much, Doctor. Take care.
I actually, when we get these messages, if you call from your cell phone, and when I take it off of the voicemail, it'll give me an opportunity to send a text message, and I'll send you a text message back saying that we got it and that we're going to use it or whatever. And it turns out this guy is now in the hospital, but it doesn't have anything to do with his green poop. He came down with H1N1, flu virus.
Oh, crap.
So he's in the hospital, and we might talk to him about his experience, being in the hospital with influenza. He said that they were dressed up in hazmat suits and all this kind of stuff to come in and see him. So, you know, the flu virus isn't gone. So if you've got a virus or if you've got a fever and you've got the chills and the muscle aches and pains and all that kind of stuff, definitely still go see your doctor, because now we've got the fall flu season coming up and we're not even done with the spring flu season yet. So anyway, this guy, let's answer the question at hand, though. He is talking about discoloration of his fecal matter, and he had green poop, and poop can be lots of different colors. The brown pigment in stool is stercobilinogen, which comes from the liver for the most part. Well, it comes from the liver. And but so if you've got an obstruction in your liver that prevents you from making bile and stercobilinogen, then you'll have colorless stool, which will be gray or clay-colored, you know, like yellow clay. Also, if you have something called Giardia, which is a parasite, you can get yellow stool from that. And Giardia stools generally are fluffy and they float on the top and are full of gas. Let's see here. Stool can be black from blood in the upper GI tract. So if you're bleeding in your stomach or if you're taking iron supplements, you know, those will react with the stool and turn it black. That's called melena. M-E-L-E-N-A. And I knew a girl once whose name was Melina, and it was spelled that way. And I didn't have the heart to tell her that what her name was or meant in medical terms was black poop. So, black tarry stool. That's basically how we would describe it. Let's see here. Yeah, licorice is high in iron and can also cause stool to be black. But green or blue poop is something different altogether. And that is almost always caused by artificial dyes in your diet.
Oh, okay.
I remember one time when Liam, our six-year-old, who had the, if people have been listening long enough, the kid who had the feud with Eastside Dave, he was, I guess, probably, well, he was still in diapers, so he was, you know, 1.5 to 2 years old. And I was changing his diaper, and in there was this load that was the most beautiful, deep emerald color I've ever seen. It was absolutely just a beautiful color, and I racked my brains to think of what it was, and it was one of those damn kids' yogurts with all the crazy colors.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And those crazy kids, but this was like Kix yogurt or something.
Yeah, my kids have, yeah, had the same thing.
And I eliminated that from his diet, and his poop went back to a boring brown again, but it was from the artificial blue dye. Reacted with the yellowish bile in his GI tract and turned his poop emerald green. So something in this guy's diet.
I was with the color of green and thinking medicine. You always think of gonorrhea can cause a green discharge.
Right. It? Yes.
Now
greenish discharge. I mean, greenish. Pus is greenish.
Now
yellowish to greenish.
Going on that, and you know, obviously making no assumptions whatsoever, but. From the San Francisco area.
Whatever, Don.
Can gonorrhea live within the colon?
Yes.
And make the stool green?
No.
Okay.
It can live in the colon. The only way you can detect it is with a swab and do a culture.
Okay.
And we'll do rectal swabs pretty routinely on people that have gonorrhea, especially if they have some risky behaviors and stuff like that. But it's the amount of pus you would have to generate to turn the stool green would just be way beyond what you actually do.
That was my only question.
What if you were a vegetarian or a vegan or something you didn't eat? All you ate was like leafy plants.
Yeah, now I have heard that vegan diets can cause stool to be blue or green. And it depends on what you take, and I'm not 100% sure which vegetables would change your stool to green, unless you ate just so much that it was just going through partially undigested.
Sure.
Now, you see that. I mean, you see lots of undigested stuff. People will see pills in their stool. Those are called ghosts. Ghosts. And those are usually wax matrix tablets where they'll put a medicine into wax, and then it will leach out over time, mm-hmm. and the medicine's gone, but the pill's still there, and like so that's called a ghost.
Like that fish oil tablets you get.
Yeah, no, does that do that?
Well, you know, yeah, they put so many coatings on it because they don't want that to dissolve in your stomach and you belch it back up.
Right.
So it's supposed to have all these, and of course you know the medical term, but it has all these coatings on it so it'll dissolve.
Enteric coatings, yeah.
Yeah, so.
So do you excrete the tablet whole at the end?
One time I did.
Yeah, okay.
Hmm.
And but I know potassium tablets will do that, and there are other medications that will do that. Extended release medications a lot of times. And then, you know, the old classic corn, always fun for a laugh. And then I think if you eat just a ton of spinach or something and some of it happens to go through undigested, I mean, you'd have to eat a lot of it to do that, then you could get some green discoloration that way. But what I'm taking from this is that he didn't just have green chunks in his stool, he had green turds. So,
yeah, okay.
So that's almost always blue dye. So he's drinking blue soda or eating blue yogurt or something.
That really fascinates me. The peanut is the only nut that I think that really doesn't get digested. Cashews, I've never seen a cashew or an almond or anything like that in my turd.
Well, I think it comes from this, is that people are disgusting and they take a handful of peanuts and swallow half of them whole. You know, just chew your food and then it won't show up in your stool, you know?
What about marijuana?
I mean, when you eat a cashew, you're eating usually going to eat one at a time, right? Or you know, macadamia nut or something like that. But people take handfuls of peanuts and just cram them in their mouth, and then they're swallowing whole chunks of them. And that's I've got diverticulosis, so I try to avoid eating, you know, peanuts and stuff, things that will go through undigested and lodge in one of those. A lot of the gastroenterologists tell me now that that's bullshit. No, again, no pun intended. Diverticulitis, which is an inflammation of these pockets in your bowel, actually comes from hard impacted stool, so you'd be better off taking a lot of fiber to prevent that. But anyway, that's, you know, I've gotten derailed again by...
Hey, what about marijuana?
What about it?
I mean, do you know of anything, or would that change the color of your stool?
Yeah. Are there any other recreational drugs that will change the color of your stool?
Huh. Now, if you ate it, you mean?
Well, no, I'm just...
Smoking it? No.
Yeah.
No, absolutely not. I don't know what mechanism it would get into the stool by smoking it.
It'll change rectally.
Yeah, if you took it rectally.
Right. Well,
but if you... smoking marijuana won't do it because you're inhaling it and it's getting deposited in the lungs. Now, it'll change the colors of your lungs. There's no question about that.
Black.
I've done autopsies on people that were chronic pot smokers and tobacco smokers, and their lungs were black. Well, listen, you're listening to Weird Medicine. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back. And when we come back, we're going to finish up our talk about odd stools, talking about the Bristol Stool Chart, which is a really fun way that doctors categorize chunks of poop into different categories, which I guess is what you do when you categorize things. give us a call at 423-343-8884 or email us at drsteve202@gmail.com. Also, check out our Twitter at Weird Medicine. Twitter.com/Weird Medicine. And you're listening to Weird Medicine. We'll be right back after these words.
Weird Medicine with Dr. Steve. Sirius XM's Grateful Dead channel. Take a trip with rare concerts from the band's own archives. Exclusive conversations with band members.
When we're playing, it's a total hallucinogenic realm.
And our weekly Dead Fan Talk Show, hosted by Dead experts David Gans and Gary Lambert. So take a break from everything else. Let the musical journey take you away with the Grateful Dead channel, Sirius 32.
I'm Ron Bennington.
And I'm Fez Whatley from The Ron and Fez Show, and we're taking the show on the road. If you're in the New York City area, come join us for a rare live broadcast of The Ron and Fez Show on Thursday, September 24th from Stout, NYC, 33rd Street between Broadway and 7th Avenue.
This is your chance to be part of The Ron and Fez Show and to check out 2U, the ultimate U2 cover band.
Space is limited, so go to Sirius.com/thevirus and get your name on the guest list.
It's The Ron and Fez Show, live from Stout, NYC, 6 to 10, September 24th. See you there.
Want to lower the cost of doing business?
Increase employee productivity and stop malware threats.
Barracuda Networks can help. The Barracuda Web Filter is an integrated hardware and software solution that enforces internet usage policies by blocking access to websites and internet applications that are not business related. The Barracuda Web Filter is the easiest way to get your staff back to work while preventing harmful malware from entering your network. Powerful yet affordable security, networking, and storage solutions trusted by more than 80,000 businesses worldwide. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for your free evaluation unit. 888-ANTI-SPAM. Or visit Barracuda.com.
Introducing a new and better way to book hotels in major cities.
Get a room
for 10 to 50% less than other websites at getaroom.com. New York from $89, Las Vegas from $18 a night. Call 1-800-HOTELS-8. That's 1-800-HOTELS-8. Getaroom.com.
Is your credit card debt out of control? Can you no longer pay the outrageous payments and fees? There is relief. Debt Help Experts. A 10-minute call right now can cut your debt and let you save for your financial future. In 2008, consumers with $10,000 or more in credit card debt legally have the consumer right to reduce their debt and satisfy their debt obligation. For your free consultation, call Debt Help Experts. Be one of the millions of Americans who are finally being told the truth about their debt options. Call Debt Help Experts within the next 30 minutes to legally reduce your credit card debt and save thousands. Exercise your consumer rights and let a debt specialist relieve that credit card stress once and for all. Call Debt Help Experts now at 1-800-979-1648. That's 1-800-979-1648. Call right now, 1-800-979-1648. Debt Help Experts is a marketing service that matches consumers in need of financial assistance with companies that may be able to help.
Do you want a wireless laptop, but your credit score is holding you back? We can help. Guaranteed. If you have a bank account and can afford weekly payments of just $29.99 for 12 months, we'll send you a brand new wireless laptop, no matter what your credit looks like. Call Tronics Country now. You're approved for a brand new Dell or HP laptop. Call now and we'll also include a free MP3 player and free LCD TV with your paid order. Call 800-769-0705. Still not sure? Then hear what our customers say.
I'm really enjoying my laptop.
I just wanted to call to say how happy I am with it.
And I'm very pleased with their service, so I would suggest to anyone that is looking for computers or trying to find computers, Tronics is the best place to call.
Call now and lock in your free gifts. You will not be turned down. Call 800-769-0705. 800-769-0705. That's 800-769-0705.
And now, an important message from Penthouse TV.
Relax, it's okay, you are alone. A touch of silky skin, a breathless moan. Adult action just for you. Watch naked people screw. There's nothing you can't do in your own home.
Enjoy your private time. Order Penthouse TV and Penthouse TV On Demand. It's the hottest unedited adult action available on television.
Penthouse TV, fill your home with love.
Check it out.
The views and opinions expressed in the following program by show hosts or their guests are their own.
That's right.
And not necessarily those of the Opie and Anthony Show, The Ron and Fez Show, or SiriusXM Radio. Listening to Weird Medicine
on the Saturday Night Virus.
It's Weird Medicine, the 3-hour fecalicious extravaganza on XM 202, Sirius 197. We are pre-recorded, but if you have a question that you'd like to get on the air at a future date, give us a call at 423-343-8884. That's 423-DIE-TOOTY. Or you can email us at drsteve202@gmail.com, and we'll, you know, we do a lot of answering questions there. And I have really been trying to a lot harder to stay up to date on the ronfez.net Weird Medicine forum. So we had, oh gosh, questions that were a month and a half old, and I think right now I'm up to, I'm only a week behind, and I'm going to get those caught up here really soon. So go to ronfez.net, and if you want to ask a question, you got to sign up as a member of the board, but it's totally free,
yeah.
And it's a fun place to hang out. We're fans of all the boards, Whack Bag and Spread the Iris, yes, and there's quite a few of them that are out there. Digital radio fans, I like that one. Mm-hmm. And also, check out Special Delivery Fans. That's Sam and Dave's forum. And we like Sam and Dave.
Sure.
They're good little fellers, and when we're on our regular show, which is an hour at midnight, every once in a while, it's at their mercy, basically. It's whenever they don't feel like doing a show, we've got a slot. So,
yeah, good for them.
We are really working on that, by the way. We get a lot of emails saying, why aren't you guys on more often? We want more live shows, because live shows are where it at. We get it.
Oh, yeah.
The live show is 10 times more fun than this. So, if you're enjoying this at all, you'll enjoy the live show a lot more. But it's hard for us to get to New York. We were going once a quarter, and I almost went bankrupt doing that. It almost bankrupted John and Jill, by dragging them up there at the same time. So now we've got at least four of us going, and Rob from Elizabethton, who's sitting out in the studio audience, is also going with us, and he'll be helping Todd do some Twitters during the some weird medicine tweets and right taking on questions off the internet while we're doing our live show. And so we got a bunch of people, so we just can't make people for no money, by the way, go to New York City and have to eat and stay. And although it's a blast, it is you are going to shit your pants. I'm telling you, that's how.
And we're going to be there.
I can't wait.
November 6th.
Yeah, November 6th will be the day that we're on, assuming that they allow us to be on Opie and Anthony and Ron and Fez's show. And then November 7th will be our show on the Saturday Night Virus.
Yeah, I'm stoked. I can't wait.
I know, it's very exciting. So, but anyway, we can really only go once a year. So we are working with Danny and E-Rock to start doing shows, live shows from the Nashville studios. Now, the one thing I really can't allow to happen is the nightmare that happened when Than and Sam did a remote show, and they had like a 4-second delay, and Than would say something, then you'd hear this big long dead air, and then Sam would say something, and then Than would interrupt him, and then we'd start another cycle. And I was never 100% sure whether it was a bit or it was really real, but it was really uncomfortable.
Dude, it was painful.
And we cannot have that happen. So we've got some bugs. This has never been attempted to do call screening remotely and have Danny in the New York studio and then the Nashville producer in the Nashville studio and us taking calls live and having guests and all that kind of stuff. So we got to do a couple run-throughs. I'm thinking sometime in January we'll do our first Weird Medicine show from Nashville. And then we'd be kind of equipped after that, if it works well, to do one a month.
Absolutely.
So we would be up for that. So we'll see. And if we do that, then it'll be no more pre-recorded shows. But we don't know. Nobody knows. That's the thing with I used to know Wiki, and who knew that we would miss Don Wicklund? But, you know, I knew him. And Elo and a lot of the people that worked at XM, now the new Sirius people, I just don't know them. So I really would like to get to know them. So if any of them happen to be listening, I would like to correspond with you. But for right now, we're working with Danny and E-Rock. So yeah. And if those two can just work together.
Yeah, and we'll build some bridges with the Sirius.
Oh, absolutely. Would love to. I mean, we did with the last bunch of guys.
Yeah.
So going to work on that. So that's something. So if you're interested in the live shows, we really are working on it. We know the live shows are better than the pre-recorded shows, but we do the best we can to make this as live as possible. Before the break, we were talking about this guy that had green poop, and we decided, or I decided anyway, and then just kind of barreled through everybody else's possible objections. If you had any, I just ignored them, that it was a blue dye in his food. So he was drinking something blue, or eating something blue, something like that. So, and then I mentioned this thing called the Bristol Stool Chart. Now, the Bristol Stool Chart or Stool Scale is a medical aid that's designed to classify the form of human feces into 7 categories. And it was also referred to in the United Kingdom as the Myers Scale. And it was developed by this guy at the University of Bristol and was first published in the Scandinavian Journal of Gastroenterology in 1997. And the form of the stool depends on the amount of time it spends in the colon, for the most part. I talked on O&A. They had a great question. It's one of those things that a lot of people wonder about but would never ask their doctor about, is why is it sometimes you eat food and it causes some reaction in your bowel, and the next thing you know, it's a half hour later, you're on the pot, spewing out liquid fecal matter.
Yeah.
And if the stool that was there was already formed, how did it just turn into liquid all of a sudden? And is it the food that you just ate? And the answer to that is no. And if it's not the food that you just ate, how did it just turn into liquid?
Yeah.
And the reason for that is that if you eat something that stimulates your bowel because it's a noxious substance or whatever, the GI tract, its immediate goal is to get rid of it. So you're either going to throw up or it's going to dump. If the need isn't urgent or it's already passed into the intestine, then the bowel will secrete all kinds of fluid into the inside of the intestine just to get that stuff out of there. And so formerly semi-formed stool will turn into liquid stool. And then you just, you have that over where we live. We call it the Fuji House effect. Everybody has their favorite restaurant that causes, you know, this thing. And as long as we don't say where we're from, we probably can't get sued. Everyone has that one favorite restaurant where they eat, and then the next thing they know, they're sitting on the pot, and that's what causes that. So it's an irritation of the GI tract causing an influx of liquid and then an expelling of said liquid. And it can dump gallons of fluid into the middle of the bowel because it's an active thing. It's not a lead pipe.
Sure.
You know, it can draw fluid in or it can secrete fluid out. You know, and the main job of the large colon is to reabsorb water that's been eaten, that's been taken into the bowel, into the intestinal tract, and to conserve water.
Oh, I see.
So when it sits in the large colon, you pull water out, and then you get formed stool. And if you let it sit in there too long, then you get constipated and you get, you know, you're pooping dust. So.
Oh, so the longer something stays in your colon, the harder and more dense it's going to be.
That's right.
When it exits.
That's right. And that's what? What, Jefferson?
It probably goes without saying.
Well, it kind of does. But it makes sense because there's this whole thing called transit time. And transit time is the amount of time it takes for you to eat something till the time that you excrete it. And the longer the transit time, usually it's because, or longer transit times usually mean that you've got less fiber in your diet. And so you have what we call a quote unquote low residue diet. And it just takes longer to get to the end and you get constipated. And that's why fiber really improves, people's stool consistency. And because it decreases the transit time.
So that clears up a lot for me because I used to wonder, or until 10 seconds ago, why it was that you added more undigestible material mm-hmm. to your diet to move things faster.
Right.
It seemed to me that if you had more stuff that was undigestible, it would slow things down.
Right, and it does just the opposite.
Huh, cool.
So if you are having, that's the first thing to do if you have chronic constipation, is to add fiber to your diet or diverticulosis. Same thing. If you have chronic abdominal pain, add some fiber to your diet. And not all fibers are the same. So psyllium fiber is the stuff that's in Metamucil, causes a lot of bloating and gas. Mm-hmm. But some people take it and it works great for them. It's inexpensive. You can buy a big can of it for almost nothing. And it's in a lot of these quote unquote natural colon cleansers too.
And shouldn't you drink a lot of water if you're going to be taking that?
Yes. And what you want it to do is to take the water on.
It can also bind you up.
Yeah. If you take, there was a guy once that took bran fiber, ate a bunch of bran cereal, and didn't follow it with any liquid, and he ended up with a bowel obstruction. I remember reading about that in a medical journal. Mm-hmm. It's rare, but it could happen because fiber without water becomes pasty and hard. Mm-hmm. So, you want to always drink plenty of water so that your bowel isn't trying to suck out too much water from the inside of it that you don't end up with hard stool.
And that's
so
just that's good the for thing. The soul. Yeah. Drink plenty of water.
Yeah, absolutely. Good, clean water is good for you. But the fibers will absorb some of that water and drag it through with it, you know, as it goes through the bowel.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, let's talk about this Bristol stool chart. So the seven types of stool are, and I wish we had sound effects.
But I was going to, drum roll would be great.
It would be great. Number seven, watery and all liquid. Okay, so that's diarrhea. Number six, fluffy pieces with ragged edges, a mushy stool.
Ugh.
Now, this is a clinical scale. And, of course, if you're going to categorize stool, it's going to be hilarious.
Sure.
Number five, soft blobs with clear-cut edges, passed easily.
Okay. All right.
Number four, like a sausage or snake, smooth and soft. So that was, remember when we did the third weird medicine and Danny was showing us pictures of his duties? Well, those were number fours. Number three, like a sausage, but with cracks on its surface.
I always thought it was a number two.
I know. Well, here's number two, sausage-shaped but lumpy. So, and then number one, separate hard lumps like nuts. Hard to pass. So that is the Bristol stool chart.
Oh, so rabbit pellets means you've been in there too long.
That's right. Absolutely.
So what's optimal? Do you want peanut butter or do you want...
Sorry, types 1 and 2 indicate constipation, 3 and 4 are ideal, and 5 through 7 are tending toward diarrhea or urgency. So you definitely want a 3 or 4, a sausage but with cracks on the surface, or sausage or snake, smooth and soft. I can't believe I went to medical school and I'm talking about this shit. Again, no pun intended. So, all right, let's answer some questions.
Hey, Dr. Steve, this is Greg from Newark, New Jersey. Following one of your advice on one of the earlier podcasts about testosterone levels, my primary care doctor checked my testosterone, came back really low, came back 181. So then I went to the endocrinologist and drew the level again. Again, it came back low. So he came up with a diagnosis of secondary hypogonadism. So then he started talking about the androgel. And then one of the last things he mentioned at my appointment is that I could become infertile and my sperm might not work. So I wanted to know what's up with that. Am I really not going to be able to have kids? I'm a young guy, I'm 23, kind of worried about this. So let me know. Thanks.
All right. First off, we've answered this question before. I just realized that about halfway through. But that's okay. We have a different audience from the 9 to midnight than we do from the midnight to 1. So, if we run out of questions, which is unlikely, but if we do, we can run through some old classics, and I don't think it'll hurt anything.
Yeah.
The testicles make testosterone. And men have estrogen, too, mm-hmm. just like women have testosterone. It's just that the amounts are flipped. In men, you've got a lot more testosterone than estrogen, and in women, it's just the opposite. Now, the way that the testicles know how much testosterone to make is that there's a hormone that comes from the brain that says, make testosterone. So this part of the brain will sense the amount of testosterone that's in the bloodstream. Say, if it's a little bit low, it'll send out a signal that says, make more testosterone. If it's a little bit high, it'll send out a signal that says, make less. And so it's just like someone yelling across a chasm from one person to the other, giving them instructions, okay? Now, in what's called primary hypogonadism, or low testosterone, that is where the testicles simply refuse to make testosterone. And that's the most common kind. Now, only about 5% of people that have low testosterone levels actually are diagnosed with it. It's very underdiagnosed in this country. The symptoms are fatigue, loss of sex drive, loss of ability to get or maintain an erection, muscle weakness or just weakness in general, and just feeling like crap. A lot of guys that are out there get diagnosed as being depressed because those are also a lot of the symptoms of depression, too.
Uh-huh. And does depression have anything to do with the level of testosterone in your system?
Well,
no.
Not directly. I mean, you're going to feel more peppy and stronger if you have... if you replace the testosterone in your system, if you have low testosterone, but it doesn't necessarily mean you were depressed.
Okay.
Now, certainly if you've lost interest in sex and you're weak and you're gaining weight and you feel fatigued all the time, that can lead to clinical depression.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
And so if I have a young guy that comes in complaining of fatigue, or really any guy up to 80 years old, and they're complaining of fatigue or weakness or loss of sex drive, before I just put them on an antidepressant, I'll check a testosterone level. I might also check a thyroid and a blood count and some other things like that, but I'll throw that testosterone level in there. And for the primary care docs that are out there listening, if you haven't diagnosed a low testosterone level in the last year, you're not testing for it enough. And because there's a huge population of people out there that are not being treated. So anyway, so primary hypogonadism is where the testicles stop making testosterone. Now, the brain notices that the level is low, so it starts yelling at the testicles, make more testosterone. And but the testicles don't respond, so it yells even louder, and they still don't respond. It's as if they become deaf to the signal. And so the way that you can distinguish primary from other kinds of low testosterone is to check a blood level of that brain hormone,
mm-hmm.
okay? And it'll be elevated. So you'll have low testosterone, elevated brain hormone.
Okay.
All right. Now, second, then there's this other stuff called secondary low testosterone, where the brain loses the ability to send the signal, so it becomes hoarse. Okay, that's the way to think of it. It's trying to yell, make more testosterone, but it becomes hoarse, and so the testicles are just sitting there going, well, I guess they've got enough testosterone, I don't need to make none. And, you know, they just don't have enough.
Do they sound just like that?
Yeah, are your nuts that country?
Well.
I mean, they call it the South, but.
Down south, they don't make testosterone where I come from. Well, they, so that's what's going on, is the stupid testicles are just sitting there like idiots and never figure it out. So they have they retain the ability to make testosterone, they just don't do it. And that's another problem altogether. And in those people, you need to check, so in those people, they'll have low testosterone, but low brain hormone. Mm-hmm. So that's how you can distinguish the two. And in those people, you need to do an MRI of the brain. The other group, you can just treat with testosterone replacement. Now, he also brought up the business about being infertile. He may be infertile because he's not making testosterone. So when he's interested in knowing the answer to that, he just needs to do a sperm study and see. And if he's making sperm, then going on the androgel shouldn't affect that.
Okay. So does low testosterone make you produce less sperm or crappy sperm?
Boy, that's a good question, and I should probably, since we've answered this twice, should know the answer to that, but it's...
Sorry.
No, it's okay. You can, if you have a fundamental problem with your testicles, the cells themselves are incapable of producing testosterone, then you're going to likely not be able to produce sperm either. Mm-hmm. I mean, there could be defects in that as well, so... My guess, and again, just to quote the great Ronnie B...
Number one thing. Don't take advice from some asshole on the radio.
If I had to guess, if you put a gun to my head, I would say they would make less sperm than defective sperm.
Cool. Okay.
But he just needs to check. Now, his testosterone level wasn't that low. It's just it depends on the lab. It sounded a little low for someone his age. I'm thinking it needs to be above 250, but that varies from lab to lab. His was 181. But I would want to know what that brain chemical was, if it was high or low, because that would make a difference as to how you treated this.
Okay.
All right. So anything else on testosterone and testicles and all that stuff? Okay. All right.
Hi, Dr. Steve. I was wondering if you could explain a little bit what's going to be going on when the government enacts a healthcare program and the amount of taxes that they're going to be taking from the people making over $250,000. Thank you.
Dude, if I knew, I mean, I'd be making some plans, but I don't know, and so I can't even plan for the future on this right now. One thing that looks almost certain is that if you're getting healthcare benefits through your employer right now, that's tax-free, and they're probably going to start taxing that if you make a certain amount of money. And it is kind of income. I mean, it makes sense. They're giving you something of value. And if forgiveness of debt, like if someone loans me $1,000 and then I don't have to pay it back, if they forgive the debt, it's actually income, right?
I guess so.
Well, because they gave me $1,000,
yep.
And I didn't have to pay it back, so it's a net plus to me, so that's, I have to pay taxes on that. And they'll give me a 1099 form at the end of the year, and I have to pay whatever my tax rate is on that. So if someone gives me $2,000 or more in health care benefits as a course of my employment, I can kind of see it, that it's taxable.
But didn't you purchase that coverage?
I'm paying for part of it, but my employer is paying the bulk of it in most cases. Now, if you're paying for it yourself, then absolutely not. It's not taxable because it's not income.
Yeah, if you're paying like $25, usually for an individual, give or take, I don't know, that's what mine is, $25 for individual, ridiculous, $400 for a family. I don't understand how that works.
Well, but the company,
if you're paying $25 per paycheck, $50 a month for your insurance, company's probably paying around $200 or more each time.
Yeah,
So businesses, if you're getting it, your business or your company is forking over a lot of money.
So they may start calling that $200 income
exactly.
And start taxing it. Well, yeah. Bless their hearts.
I don't have a problem with it, but I'm going to catch hell over it, but
well,
I really don't.
I think they're only going to do it if you meet a certain income requirement.
And you're not a union.
Well, and I don't know about that. But if you're making over $250,000 a year, they're probably going to start taxing your health care benefits. Now, if you're making $250,000 a year and you're talking about $200 a month that your employer is paying, it's probably closer to $400 for some of those things. What's that times 12? It'd be, $4,800? So you're paying taxes on an extra $4,800 a year. So, you know. Mm-hmm.
It's not going to kill you if you're making over 250.
It's going to be about it'll add $1,000 a year to your tax burden. So it's not that big of a deal. So that's one thing I know that they're going to do. One of the things is that I've looked and found some information from a website called Sermo.com, and this is a website for doctors, but patients can go there too. And they've got a lot of information, and they do some doctor's advocacy. Number one, the American Medical Association, 92% of the docs that were on this Sermo.com say that the AMA doesn't speak for them. But the AMA is the number one lobbying organization for doctors. But I think they've got 42,000 members or something now. So I'll get some email from somebody. I'm just throwing numbers out there. But there are, 400,000 doctors out there.
Well, then it begs the question, if most doctors are saying they don't speak for them, who do they speak for?
Well, here's one of the interesting things about that. The AMA makes money off of these CPT codes. And if you were with us for the first segment, we talked about procedure codes and diagnosis codes. And the AMA makes these books of codes, and they make money off of that. You have to buy their and use their books to code your stuff. So they make money off of that. As a matter of fact, I think if I read it correctly, they make more money off of that than they do off their membership fee. So they've got a vested interest in healthcare not, number one, changing that much so that it's still metric-driven. In other words, we're still throwing codes at the government and all this kind of stuff.
So when you say you have to purchase, what happens if you don't?
You have to
purchase.
Well, you can't bill.
Because you're...
It's the Bible.
And the codes change. So you go into your doctor's office... The doctor sees you, says that you have a cold, and gives you your paper to turn in to the front or whatever. They take that. As soon as you leave, you say, I was diagnosed with a code, but in medicine, you're diagnosed with a number.
Okay.
And that number fits every time you get a cold, a common cold, there's a number for it.
And you have
just
to
like
match
diabetes. And you have, and sometimes the codes change with change of the cold or change of the
procedure
you're doing. And the procedures can change and this and that, so the codes will change. So if you're not up to if you don't have a new book every year, then you may bill the wrong procedure.
Yeah. It used to be, for example, I'll give you an example of that, and this may be boring to some people in the audience, but we'll get on to something else. But in the old days, when you had someone with diabetes, didn't matter if they had type 1 or type 2, you just billed 250.
Okay,
that was the diagnosis code for diabetes, and then you would charge a procedure. You have to match that with a procedure code, which would be your office visit code or your in-hospital code, and they've got a code for everything, okay? And those two things have to match. So you can't, for example, they would kick back if you billed common cold for someone if you did a history and physical in the hospital,
okay?
Because you're not admitting people with common cold, so they would kick that back. But it used to be that you could just bill 250. Well, then they started adding on all these modifiers to it. So 2.250.01, 0.02, 0.62, 0.52. And you have to do these things. And if they audit you and you're not doing them correctly, then they can fuss at you about it and even take money back. So you have to have these books, and for you to bill, you have to properly code your office visits and your procedures and your hospital visits. So the AMA has this great monopoly because there's no competing code system that you can use.
Yeah, see, the uninformed asshole in me starts going scam.
Well, yeah.
And uninformed. I don't know the AMA. I mean, I'm nothing.
I don't want to piss off the AMA necessarily, but I'm not a member of the AMA. I do get their journal. Their journal is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
This is all stuff that I'm just learning about since I've become a little more interested in the politics of this since healthcare reform has come to the fore. And maybe I should have been before, but I've been trying to spend all my time taking care of patients and doing this radio show.
Right.
And haven't spent maybe as much time as I should have on these things, but I'm trying to educate myself. And it's something that most doctors don't have knowledge of. You know, I would say that the majority of doctors out there are just trying to see their patients. They're trying to code. They buy the book every year. They do the best they can. They'll get an audit every once in a while that will help correct the way that they bill. But they really are trying to do a good job. And they're not political about this stuff because they don't have time.
Right. You know? And they care more about their patients than about
being political about it.
Right.
And that's why most people haven't joined the AMA, I think.
Hmm.
It costs 400 and some bucks a year. I don't know how much it is. It's a lot.
Okay.
And it may be more than 400. I'm not sure. And don't send me letters about it. I don't know. I don't care. I'm not joining. So, that's just something I don't know. If you really want to know, I can research it. But it costs money to join. And then, whether you join or not, you have to buy the procedure manuals and stuff from them.
Hmm.
So, anyway, I was just reading this thing from Sermo, and it said, ask any physician how much time and money gets wasted trying to collect money from insurance companies. And according to a study released by Cornell University this month, physician offices spend $31 billion a year interacting with healthcare plans. And it's 6.9% of all spending on physician and clinical services. So when the healthcare HMOs came out, you generally had to at least hire one full-time employee just to deal with billing for those things.
Wow.
You know, and you talk about, and that's good for jobs, no question about
sure.
it. But it costs a lot of money. And anyone who has ever dealt with the medical system knows that the insurance companies often, it's so complicated that nobody can ever get it right. I have gone to my own health system and had my kids in the hospital four different times. I've had one of them have two different surgeries, and I've had colonoscopy and some other procedures, and not one time have they gotten my primary insurance and my secondary insurance billed to the properly. And these are not stupid people.
No.
And they're not being lazy. It's just the whole system is so complicated that when they go to bill, it always gets kicked back every single time. And then I have to get involved and say, wait a minute, this one's my primary, this one's my secondary. I have to then call the insurance company and try to get it straightened out. And then they always straighten it out, but it takes time. And then you've got this accounts receivable balance that just keeps building up and building up, and no wonder the whole system's in trouble. I mean, that's just part of it. It's just too complicated.
Is it? You think it's purposely complex to a point?
I read The Rainmaker by John Grisham, and that was the whole thing. And that was that they would just delay paying stuff long enough. And I'm not saying there's a conspiracy out there. Okay,
no,
I'm not saying that. But it certainly, if you're going to game play the system, it makes sense to delay as much as you can, because if you've got an inflamed economy. An inflated economy where there's inflation going on, the longer you keep from paying, the less you actually end up having to pay.
Right.
You know, if I pay $100 today, but I pay $100 a year from now and inflation has gone up 4%, I've really only paid $96.
Yep.
So it saves me a crap load of money. I'm not saying they do that on purpose, but it is the net result is that things get delayed.
Mm.
So, and it's very complicated. There are all kinds of people dealing with that. And they say at this place that physician compensation, in other words, money going to physicians, comprises less than 10% of the overall healthcare spend. Perhaps there are better ways to look for healthcare savings. So, you know, obviously I've got the bully pulpit, and I try not to be biased too far in favor of the doctor's lobby because I'm not part of it, you know.
Right.
But that kind of crap makes me start thinking we need a single payer. You know, I would go for a single payer system if it would make it simpler to bill and get your money back.
Sure.
You know, it's ridiculous. Anyway. Questions, comments? No.
Mm. Nah. It's frustrating.
Hi, Dr. Steve. I suffer from, I'm assuming it's acid reflux. I'm not sure. Every day. No matter what I eat, what I drink, no matter what it is, I get just terrible heartburn. I guess, or an ingestion, whatever. And from the stomach down to the asshole is not right. So I'm just curious. Just gonna, I think so.
Okay.
He gets what?
Heartburn.
That's not
from the stomach to the asshole?
That's not between the stomach and the asshole.
No, what if you listen to it, he said no matter what he eats, he gets terrible heartburn, but
yeah.
From the stomach to the asshole, nothing's right. Now, let's talk a little bit about heartburn, and then we can talk about really, really bad heartburn that can cause problems through the whole bowel. Heartburn is that symptom in medicine. We call it pyrosis, which just means fire in the belly. And it's caused by irritation and inflammation of the stomach lining and the esophagus. And the mechanical way this whole thing works, if it's acid reflux, is you've got your mouth and you swallow food, it goes down the esophagus into the stomach. Now, the stomach is below the diaphragm, in theory. So that means there's a hole in the diaphragm, right? Okay, the diaphragm right. being that big thing that you push down to take in a deep breath.
Yeah.
So there are things that are above the diaphragm, which is the heart and lungs and part of the esophagus, and then there's the stuff below the diaphragm, which is the guts and the stomach and the liver and spleen and that kind of stuff. Okay? So if the esophagus has to be partly above the diaphragm and partly below the diaphragm, that means there's a hole in the diaphragm. And that hole is called the hiatus. And if you get part of the stomach moving up above the diaphragm, so it gets a little pouch above the diaphragm, that's called a hiatal hernia.
Yeah,
okay,
we've
all heard of hiatal hernia. So,
yep.
Now, when that happens, the valve, which is a really I'm not criticizing the great designer. I'm just saying that mechanically, it's not the most efficient valve that you could possibly have. Okay,
okay.
It's just a little ring of muscle tissue that squishes down, and what it's supposed to do is keep acid from the stomach that is perfectly capable of dealing with acid out of the esophagus where it doesn't belong, because the esophagus is not coated properly to deal with acid.
Okay.
But when you get one of these hiatal hernias and you lay down, then stomach contents just goes right from the stomach up into the esophagus and causes a burning sensation as the stomach acids start to digest the esophagus. That's basically what's going on.
Ugh.
Now, if you get a lot of food in your stomach, same thing can happen. You know, that it will get distended and there will be a little bit of pressure and you'll push acid up into the esophagus. Again, you'll get heartburn. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to have the hiatal hernia. You could just have a lax valve in the bottom of the esophagus and the same thing will happen. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the key is to try to keep stomach acid from getting up into the esophagus. It can cause, over time, can cause problems, changes in the esophagus as it's trying to protect itself from being digested, that can turn into esophageal cancer down the road. And so you want to try to prevent it if you can. And so this is a symptom that needs to be treated and not ignored. Most doctors these days will just go for acid reduction therapy. So you can start off with stuff that's over the counter, like Zantac or Prilosec. There's also Pepcid over the counter.
Uh-huh.
Now, Pepcid and Zantac are these things called H2 blockers, and then the Prilosec is actually a proton pump inhibitor, which means that it stops the stomach from actually producing acid by poisoning the pump that pumps acid into the stomach. And it's a really neat way that the stomach produces acid anyway, because acid is just protons, naked protons.
Yeah.
Okay? And the stomach is smart enough that it can take and secrete hydrochloric acid, but it's basically chlorine ions and naked protons directly into the middle of the stomach.
Mm.
And so it's really efficient at doing that. And when you take those pumps and shut them down, then you stop making acid in your stomach and all this heartburn will go away. I think most docs would say that it's okay to try those things over the counter, but then if you don't get better pretty darn quickly and be able to get back off the medicine and your symptoms don't come back, then you need to seek medical attention. And one of the things they'll do is an endoscopy. And have you ever had one? Anybody in here ever had one?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Yeah.
Rob, you've had one?
Yeah, I
Yeah, okay. Rob from Elizabethton had one a couple months ago. Really, that's a compared to the colonoscopy, it's a breeze.
Well, they did both mine at the same time.
Okay, well, you had to do the prep, but there's no prep for the endoscopy. So for this guy, just to check out heartburn, you just don't eat that day. Nothing by mouth after midnight. And then you go in, you lay down, they stick the IV in your arm, give you some goofy juice, you blink, and it's over. You know? Is that pretty accurate to
what
you remember?
Absolutely accurate, yeah.
Rob, same thing? Yeah.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, come in here. Rob is totally unprepared for this, but how easy is having an endoscopy done?
Oh, there was absolutely nothing to it, really. I mean, I went in and had the IV put in. They rolled me into the room maybe an hour later. They said, we're going to give you some stuff. It's going to make you a little sleepy. Next thing I know,
you're waking up.
I'm waking up, and my wife says,
nothing to it. People think about this big black tube going down their throat, and they shudder at the thought of it. And I swear when I got up for my first one that they didn't, that they had not done it. You know, because I woke up and said, well, what's going on? And they're like, we're done. I'm like,
your throat's
lying.
Not even sore?
No, nothing.
No, I was warned that I might have a little bit of sore throat, but I didn't. I didn't experience that at all.
It's a really smooth, flexible rubber or latex or something that's on there. I don't know what it's made out of, but it's real flexible. It's real smooth. It's shiny. And so it doesn't rub or do anything. And the next one that I have, because I'll have to have one again at some point because my reflux is so bad, I'm going to do it without anesthesia.
Ooh, what about gag reflex?
Well, I have a terrible gag reflex. I mean, you can't even put something close to my mouth without me gagging, but you can do it through your nose.
Oh.
And so you sit up and they shove the thing in, they numb up your nose, shove it in your nose and go down that way. And so I'm going to try it, and I will record it for the show because I did my colonoscopy without anesthesia before weird medicine ever occurred.
Yeah, I was going to ask if I could come and film it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can I?
Yeah.
And yeah, you could be
for
his
free.
Partner.
Yeah.
I'll be his partner this time,
yeah.
John.
This is my partner.
Yeah.
He just wants to watch.
He wants to check out my gag reflex.
Yeah. With a big black tube.
Yeah.
Yep. So it would be most entertaining. And we'll post that on YouTube. So anyway, it's nothing to it, but you do, if you decide to take one of these over-the-counter remedies, then your symptoms don't go away, then you've got to get scoped. Now, the other thing that you can take on the short term, because Prilosec and Pepcid both will take a couple of days to really kick in well, is an antacid. So, and I recommend liquid Mylanta because the pills like Tums and stuff like that, you know, people take rolls and rolls of Tums. Don't do that. If you're doing that, you've got to get checked out. And Tums has got calcium carbonate in it, and calcium is a hormone that actually makes the stomach produce more acid. So that becomes a vicious cycle.
Oh, really?
So the more Tums you take, the more acid you're going to produce. And the more Tums you take, the more heartburn you're going to have over time. So use Mylanta. It has magnesium hydroxide in it, and it's much better antacid.
Do the drugs that decrease the amount of acid in your stomach make it more difficult to digest food?
The pH of the stomach still stays pretty low. You can't ever completely shut it off. So it still remains an acidic organ. It's just not as acid as it was before.
Okay.
And it probably does increase transit time, which we talked about earlier.
That's where I was going.
The time that food sits in the stomach while it's waiting for it to just massage and break up the bonds as much as it can probably takes longer. So I know for me, because I've been on this stuff for so long, that when I eat something, it just kind of sits in my stomach longer. But I'll take that symptoms of heartburn any day.
Uh-huh.
So
hey, now I had a family member that had real severe heartburn, and I think, and tell me if this would be right, he had his esophagus stretched?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, now what happens there is if the acid gets into the esophagus and it's there long enough, it can cause scarring of the esophagus and you'll get a tightening of the esophagus. And then what happens is you start getting food stuck.
Yeah, I had that big time.
Yeah, that's a really bad symptom where you'll eat, like you go to Chinese and you eat and it'll start piling up in your esophagus. And I heard about a lady once that actually broke her hip because she had an esophageal stricture. Now, think for a second how that could possibly happen, and then I'll tell you, because this is a great story. What happened was that she had an esophageal stricture, like you were talking about, that needed to be dilated, but she hadn't had it dilated yet. And the way they do that is just go in with a balloon and just blow it open and break up the scar tissue. So what was happening to her was she would eat, and it would get stuck in her esophagus, and then she'd jump up and down and then to get the food in. And then it got a little bit tighter, and so she had to start getting on the stairs and jump off the first step to get the food to go down into her stomach. And then it got a little tighter, and she went up to the second step and then jumped off. And by the time she had to jump off the fourth step to get food down in her stomach, she fell down and broke her hip. Oh, and that's God. How she
that
broke
was
her
silly.
Hip. Well, honestly,
you'll do anything to get that pain gone, because I thought I was having a heart attack.
Oh, it's awful.
It's terrible. Worst pain I've ever had.
Oh, and you feel like you want to, you know, there's something in there, and it's stuck, and you want to get rid of it, but you want to puke, but you can't really puke because it's not in your stomach, and there's no muscles there to get rid of it.
It felt like the alien was going to come out of my chest.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it felt like.
Yeah. So that's, and they'll take these big tube, they're tapered, and they'll just run them down there, and they get thicker and thicker as they run it down, and that'll open it up. Mm-hmm. It's not really a balloon, but anyway. So you are listening to Weird Medicine on XM 202, Sirius 197. This is a pre-recorded show. We will be live November 7th. From the studios at 1221 Avenue of the Americas. I sure hope I have that address right, because I've said it a bunch of times. I'm just going to really sound stupid if I'm wrong. If you have a medical question that you'd like to get on one of our pre-recorded shows, email us at drsteve202@gmail.com or call 423-343-8884. That's 423.
Die tootie.
I just wanted to make sure John was still awake. He's just been kind of lounging over there. Yeah, you've been doing all right. You doing all right?
Yeah, doing good.
Okay, and Charlie is getting, what, are you leaving? Okay, okay. They're just stretching out there. We need to stretch, too. We've got about a minute left. When we come back from the break, we've got Lady Trucker with a question about her awful bowels, to just stay on topic. We've got a question about the male G-spot coming up. We also have another guy that called in asking about his wife's giant dumps, so that will be a good one. And we also have a new bit. Where it's called Liam Found Daddy's Voicemail Number.
Yay.
So that'll be a good one. And we also have to talk about CT and Jiven. They've got a new show coming out, interestingly named Weird Science. And so we'll talk about where that came from. And we've also got an FDA alert for bodybuilders. And also Weird Medicine in 100 Languages, and we might talk about the new wine challenge in case all of our other bits get trashed in front of ONA on November 6th. So you guys got anything else before we go to break? Let's just take a quick break. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Weird Medicine.
It's Weird Medicine.
I'm just really constipated.
With Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve.
The National Football League on Sirius XM.
Run through the defense!
Every game.
Deep down the right side, and he's got it, man! Touchdown!
Every week.
Caught at the 10-5, 3-2-1! Touchdown, Tampa Bay! Fire the cannons!
Everywhere. Follow your team all season long. From week one right through Super Bowl 44 in Miami. Sirius XM covers the NFL like no one else.
No one else.
For game schedules, go to Sirius.com/NFL.
The truck pulled the ATVs with no problem. I love that thing.
If you love it so much, why don't you marry it?
Who are all those people?
Oh, that's my studio audience. I saved so much money on my ATV insurance by switching to Geico, I was able to rent a studio audience for the weekend.
Huh. Good move.
Saving you money on your ATV insurance is our business. What you do with the money is your business. Geico Power Sports. Insurance for all the things that move you.
We can help you pick a penny stock.
PennyStockChaser.com is now the number one website for up-to-date stock picks and notifications. Join over 50,000 investors from across the world who follow our free daily stock alerts and profit. On July 2nd, we alerted our members to BEHL at only 0.8 cents. It then exploded to over 15 cents within a month, an 1,800% gain. Check out similar past picks and today's hot alert at
PennyStockChaser.com.
Well, looks like someone just woke up with a hot Brazilian.
Oh, is it that obvious? Don't judge me, but this is the third time this week.
And your husband, he doesn't mind?
I don't see why he would. He drives me there. Then again, he gets some, too.
So you share the hot Brazilian?
Please, he gets his own. He just lives to douse that little Brazilian in marshmallows. But that's his thing, so who am I to stop him?
Well, he is your husband.
Oh, come on. You know how men are. Give them a little sample, and they're like kids in a candy store.
Speaking of kids, you don't bring these hot Brazilians home with you.
Like we can hold out that long. We're usually done before the car ride's over. And if he's in a good mood, he'll let me finish his off, too.
Just to clarify, you are still making double entendres about 7-Eleven's Brazilian Bold Coffee, right?
Wake up with a free 4-ounce sample of hot, fresh Brazilian Bold Coffee while supplies last, only at participating 7-Eleven stores. It's great coffee, any way you take it.
Oh, thank heaven.
Truckers, we know you can't afford to waste time at a weigh station. That's why you need PrePass. With PrePass, highway sensors check your weight and certifications as you drive highway speed. If everything checks, a green light on your dash lets you know you keep on driving. Try it for free. We guarantee you're going to want PrePass along on every haul. Go to PrePass.com and enter the promo code FREE or call 888-599-PASS. That's 888-599-PASS. 888-599-7277.
Being Ready, a true story from Farmers Insurance. Sam Schlehuber, a farmer's agent.
The people I insure live around me. They're my friends. They're my family.
Greg, a farmer's client.
I really don't need to worry. He tells me all the information, all the options, and then he lets me decide.
It's important for Greg's family to be prepared for the unexpected.
Are you this ready? Get to know a farmer's agent today. For auto, home, business, or life insurance, visit farmers.com, because ready feels good.
Do you need $500,000, $5 million, or even $15 million of life insurance? How much is needed for your family to maintain their current standard of living if you should die? Would your business survive your death? Folsom Insurance can get you the best value for your money. Find out if you have enough life insurance or if you're paying too much. Call 800-488-4821. 800-488-4821. Don't delay in making this very important call. 800-488-4821.
Virus is an XL channel which may contain explicit language. Channel blocking is available by calling 1-800-XM-RADIO or for XM Canada, 877-438-9677.
You're listening to Weird Medicine on the Saturday Night Virus.
It's Weird Medicine, the craptacular. No, it's not. I can't say craptacular, can I? It's the fecalicious extravaganza. We were going to call it some kind of three-hour craptacular, and then somebody emailed me and said that's a Howard Stern bit. So I actually went and, you know, we didn't want to hoo-hoo rip off Howard, so I went and looked it up. Actually, it was from The Simpsons in 1997. That's where the word craptacular came from. So we could have used it. And then we were going to use spoogelicious or something like that, and ended up, I don't know. So anyway, it's just silly. Welcome to our three-hour pre-recorded show. We are going to be doing a live show in November 7th. 2009. If you have a question for us that you'd like to get on one of our pre-recorded shows, email us at drsteve202@gmail.com or call 423-343-DIE2D. Or,
you stole my line.
I did it on purpose to see if you were still awake. And go to drsteve.com or to ronfez.net/forums and look at the Weird Medicine Forum. So, anyway, we had a question that actually gets into a bit that we were going to do here. Let me see if I can find it.
Hi, Dr. Steve. I've been hearing about the whole pineapple juice thing and wanted to let you know that I have several people that I know that say that it is true.
Now, what she's talking about is something that we talked about on the Midnight Show last time.
Right.
Was the myth that's out there is if you drink pineapple juice, it will make your semen taste more fruity.
Yeah.
And so we talked about that and tried to get some people to at least try it at home and give us an idea if it was worth pursuing as an actual study.
Mm-hmm.
Because we did, and the people who haven't been listening to us on the Midnight Show missed the double vasectomy Todd penis lengthening challenge.
Sad that they missed it.
Where he lost weight doing MJ at MuscleSorority.com's weight loss routine and lost what? What'd you end up losing? 80 pounds? 50?
No, 50.
You lost 50 pounds and gained an inch and a half or inch and three quarters of penis length.
Damn near 2 inches.
According to the formula, for every 35 pounds lost, you gain an inch of penis length. And so we confirmed that. We didn't do a large study. We did a small study, but the results were good enough. No. No pun intended.
It started off a small study, and it ended a large study.
And Susie actually confirmed that for us, so we knew you weren't lying, because we were not going to be measuring your penis.
Nope, that's my job.
In the Weird Medicine Studio, right. Right. And Susie didn't bother using a tape measure either. She measured it the old-fashioned way.
Calibrating was
that's
tough.
Right, that's right. So, but anyway, so that's what this lady's talking about.
I have not had that experience, but I'm looking for volunteers, Dr. Steve. And you, Double Vasectomy Todd, you know, are you up for it? If so, I'll give you my name. But as for now, I'll just remain anonymous. But I'll tune in and listen to see, you know, if I have any takers for my offer. And by the way, I have also verified with my friend the whole thing about losing weight and the penis size. There again, I've not observed it for myself, but I know that Double Vasectomy Todd has been working on that. So, you know, if he needs somebody to verify, just, you know, let your girl know. Thanks. Mm.
Well, okay.
Hi, Dr. Steve.
Whoops. Oops,
Todd has a fan.
So are you a taker, Steve?
She's wondering. No, I'm a giver.
Right on. She wanted to know if she had any takers. I thought maybe you'd want to be a taker.
Yeah, no, thanks. Appreciate it. Well, that's interesting, Todd. You've got a fan there.
Got one fan.
And, I'm going to reiterate again that that's my job.
Okay. Yeah, Susie's being a little territorial there. So no, this is just clinic. This is science, Susie.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Well, we appreciate that, and if she wants to send us her name and address, I'm sure we could find a taker for her.
I'm sure we can. I think she might deserve some free Weird Medicine merchandise.
Absolutely.
I think we should send her a T-shirt and a beer stein that she can fill with pineapple juice for whoever her taker ends up.
Okay, that sounds good. And if you're interested in Weird Medicine merchandise, and I feel like an absolute whore even mentioning it, but check out cafepress.com/weirdmedicine. We've got all kinds of crap. And my favorite thing on there that makes me laugh every time I see it is the dog wearing the I Heart Rim Jobs shirt. Because the dog looks like he's got this, he's looking back, and it says I Heart Rim Jobs on it. He's looking back at the camera with that look, you know, a little bit scared, a little bit excited.
Oh, it's come hither for sure.
And it really, I would love to have my dog have that thing on. But, and if you don't know where that comes from, just quickly, Ronnie B. and Fezzi and Ronnie B.'s chicken, my wife were at Opie's wedding, and we were in a limo, and we went down looking at Ronnie B.'s old haunts in Philadelphia, and we went by a bar that where a lot of people were outside, and there was a big fat girl out there, and just to describe her, not to disparage her,
right.
And she had this hat on that just said, I Heart Rim Jobs, and it was just so classic, so... But anyway, so yes, let's talk a little bit about the Pineapple Express Challenge. We heard this myth. We don't know if it's true or not. We really need some more data. What we need to do is a pilot study to see if it's worth doing a real study on. And we would consider doing a study live on the air. If we found that this was something real, and what we would do is have somebody get for merchandise, have oral treats on the air, and then the person giving them
with us.
No. Oh, at home.
That's
no.
Prostitution.
That's cool.
Okay. You're the lawyer.
Still okay.
Yeah, it is okay. So if I give someone merchandise instead of money, then it's not against the law.
No, you give them a cert.
The whole point of this challenge is you don't need the cert when you're done.
Right. That's there is this stuff, you know, that used to be when Opie and Anthony were on WNEW, they had an advertiser that was Sweet Release. Mm-hmm. And I think it's sweetrelease.com.
It is.
And I went there, and Todd went there, and you actually ordered some.
I got all my Christmas shopping done.
Okay. What's interesting is it's called Sweet Release Hard Apple for Men. And it's supposed to change the sexual taste and scent of male body secretions. And it's 100% natural and herbal, a totally vegetarian food supplement. And it has, according to them, antibacterial properties.
Wow.
Promotes lower cholesterol.
Ooh, you should take this anyway.
I know. And helps lower helps the body's immune system. Okay, come on. I'm calling shenanigans on this shit. Omega-6 and omega-3 oil balances and helps in the development of healthy dream states. And I'm sure it does if you're post-coital.
That's what I was going to ask is, doesn't more sexual activity do all those things?
Well, it definitely helps in the development of healthy dream states. I don't know about the omega-6 and omega-3 oil balance. But it says it uses natural fruits like cranberry, apple, mango, blueberry, cherry, and many others. Well, it sounds awfully tasty to me.
Sure does.
So even if it doesn't do anything to your splooge, it sounds like it would be a reasonably tasty supplement. So we are going to try this. You get 60 vegetarian capsules per bottle, and we'll let you, somehow we'll let you know. I guess Todd's the only one that's actually getting oral sex right now, so you guys try it and then let us know.
I'm going to look under the table.
Ooh. Just crawl right under there while you're looking.
No.
All right.
I'm going to have to actually bring it up. I like at the very end of this, it says that it's not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration.
Oh, really?
But also, it says on this site, or this site also includes information on change the taste of semen. Is semen salty? Good tasting semen. Salty jizz. Sweet semen. Tasty semen. Change the smell of semen. The taste of semen. Male semen. The smell of semen. Change the smell of semen. Gay semen. Tasty cum. Salty cum. Nasty cum. Cum taste. And the taste of cum.
Excellent.
Classy. Well,
that's an all-encompassing website. If you're interested in taste and, you know, semen. So.
Sure. This is a go-to site.
How'd you like to be the lawyer to write that disclaimer?
Oh, my God.
I'm in the wrong business.
I know. It would be entertaining, to say the least. All right. We mentioned this new bit, and this is called Liam Found Daddy's Voicemail. And what happened was the boys were playing outside, and I was checking our voicemails, and I left the cell phone out. And Liam, my six-year-old, picked it up and apparently hit the send button and then heard my voice and then started talking. And this is the result. And
hello, Dr. Steve. Here, you are a very weird person.
The other thing is that I didn't find this until that night when I saw that we had like 14 Skype voicemails, and I was like, oh, this is great. You know, we're getting popular. People are actually calling and leaving questions, and then it was 14 from my two kids. And the funny thing to me on this one is you can hear my four-year-old Beck. Liam is killing. He is absolutely killing. If that was hit the room, if Beck is the room, he killed the room. So here you go.
And you need to exercise. And your glasses are so dirty, I would rather throw them away and put them back on. And I would take them to the car wash and throw them inside of somebody's window. And I would like to go to the store and buy another extra butt.
Extra butt.
As it's so weird, I could fart in somebody's face because they need a new butt. Somebody needs to go take a bathroom break. Is there any poop in the house? Somebody needs to take a bad bathroom break. Does you have any poop to clean up in your underwear? I'm not
finished, he yells.
He's a weirdo. And you're pooping, you gotta get the glob on it, and you need the exercise.
Okay, so anyway, that's it goes on and on, but that's probably not.
Out of the mouths of babes.
Kid humor.
Classic material.
Yeah, sure. Poop in your underwear. Yep. Don't you need to clean some poop out? And then I don't know where I'll throw the glasses out the window. And that one just killed.
Yep.
Beck thought that was hilarious. I don't know where that came from anyway.
So, you may have a calling.
Yeah, get him an agent.
Speaking of poop, here's Lady Trucker.
Hey, Dr. Steve, it's Lady Trucker. Last Christmas, after 3 days of turtle head shit, that's right, I was constipated, I had a very nice long log, about 2 feet long. One time, girth started about the bottom of a big old juice can, and then it just tapered down to like an inch or so in diameter.
Anybody else turned on right now?
Ooh. And my question is, what determines the girthiness of your poop?
Girthiness?
The girthiness. Oh, okay. Well, you remember the first Weird Medicine show we ever did? It was nothing but testicle talk, and this one has been nothing but feces.
Yep.
I guess that's...
called it the fecalicious...
Yeah, well, that's why.
That's what it's been.
Yeah, fecalicious extravaganza. So, girth is a function of how impacted the stool is. That's all it is. The more... stool gets pushed down into the rectum itself, the more it distends, and you get a larger and larger stool, and so it becomes girthy. And it will.
Could it also be based on how wide your butthole opens up?
Yeah, because it'll extrude, kind of like one of those Play-Doh things, right. You know, with the extruders. But for the most part, butthole can expand pretty prodigiously if it needs to. It's amazing. But it's more a function of how much your rectum can distend, you know, which the rectum being the part of the intestine, just the very last part of the intestine. And she talked about how it tapered at the very end. Well, that makes sense because it would get softer and softer as it got longer and longer. And so at the very end, mm-hmm. you know, it's called pinching a loaf for a reason. That's what she was doing. So
did it have rest rings in it?
What did it have? What?
Rest rings, where you relax a little, you're pushing, and you relax a little bit, and you get a little dip in the poop, and then it gets thick again.
Well, I don't know. That would be the benefit of a live show, where we can actually ask these follow-up questions.
I don't think I want to know that with her.
I don't either.
I don't know.
Did she call it a can?
Yeah.
Juice can.
Juice can?
Yeah.
A juice can.
I'm assuming that's a trucker box as they poop on the side of the road or something.
What? No, she's talking about a juice can, like, you know, a little V8 can.
Yeah,
I thought she was talking about that's what she shit in.
No.
Oh, a juice can. Okay, I get it.
The girth was as wide as this.
Oh.
Yeah, like a John being a colloquialism for a toilet, you mean? So
yes.
And the can being,
And so juice can. I thought it was this thing that she had in her truck. And she just pulled over on the side of the road and pooped in a juice can and then just kept on going.
Yeah, that's great. Let's, from now on, all the truckers out there, just start calling you the portable toilet that you have in your truck, if you have one, I guess, a juice can.
Because I got this image of her. Just
stop right there.
Yeah.
Just stop right there. Stop.
Yeah. All right. We lost Susie on that one. This is a follow-up call.
Hey, how you doing, Dr. Steve? My wife has these oversized, large dumps, and she only goes about once a week, or maybe once every 2 weeks, and it hurts really bad, and it makes her butt bleed. I don't know what that is. I mean, she's had it since she was little, I guess. When she was little, this or that, or go to the doctor and had the doctor, I guess, go in there and pull it all out. They gave her, you know, cranberry, whatever, pills and whatnot, everything. She's tried all kinds of pills and stuff to make her go, but nothing has ever worked. And I don't know if you know what that is. I mean, they're the size of maybe a softball. Think that's about it. All right, bye.
Okay, so his wife is having softball-sized turds once every couple of weeks?
You said once a week.
Once a week? Okay. She has chronic constipation and probably has this thing, since she's had it since she was a kid, called a lazy bowel. And this is where the bowel just doesn't contract like it's supposed to, and so stool just sits in there and just distends the bowel until it just can't stand it anymore, and then she has these monstrous, massive turds.
And they're going to be really dense, right?
Yes, absolutely.
What's a softball turd on that Bristol chart?
Oh, yeah. Oh, good one. It's not on there. She has an unclassifiable turd.
I would say she would have the hard, constipated, what was that, one?
Let me get this out.
It's a UFT.
One.
Well, type one is separate hard lumps. Okay, but it says like nuts and that are hard to pass. So, yeah, it'd have to be a one.
It'd have to be a one. Doesn't matter what the size.
Right. Bad constipation. Yeah. It's just a large nut, like a coconut instead of, you know, like we're thinking of acorns when we look at this picture. And I just wish we'll post this on our website.
Please.
This picture is just hilarious, where some poor medical artist had to put renderings of different stool consistencies on a piece of paper.
And it'll help people that are calling in with questions, too. Yeah. They can refer to the chart, and they'll know what question to ask.
I have Bristol type 1 stools. That'd be great. You know, if everybody was up to speed on that.
In my juice can.
In my juice can. Jesus. I have to turn the mic down on you guys. You're just too much hilarity. So where were we? Oh, so she has a lazy bowel. That's got to be what it is. And there are lots of things that she can do for this. Now, she's been to the doctor, so we're going to assume that they've ruled out all the crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. Like there's a disease called Hirschsprung's disease where you get this big giant bowel that just doesn't work. We're going to assume she doesn't have that. So for chronic constipation, the first thing to do is to increase the fiber in your diet. So Citrus-L.
I knew you were going there.
Yep. Citrus-L is the first thing to do. If she's already increased the fiber in her diet, then she could go to something like a Miralax. You can buy Miralax over the counter. It's propylene glycol. It is it's an osmotic laxative where it sits in the bowel and draws fluid into the bowel. Okay, and so that will stop this monstrous, just hard rock of a turd from forming. And she needs to take enough so that she moves her bowels once a day or once every 2 days. And if that doesn't work, then there's a medication called Amitiza, which is a new medication on the market. A lot of doctors aren't aware of it. It's a thing called a chloride channel agonist. Doesn't matter what it is. But what it does is it causes fluid to rush into the bowel. Remember when we were talking in the segment before that if you eat something that irritates your bowel, it floods the bowel with water so that it can get rid of it. It's like doing its own high colonic. Well, that's what Amitiza does. And so it does it from within, so you don't have to give yourself an enema from below. And its main side effect is nausea. And if you take it with food, you can reduce that. And if you take it for a week or two, which she's going to need to take it for the rest of her life, the nausea will go away.
So, it's pretty safe to take on a regular basis?
It appears to be. It's one of those things that it does one specific thing in the body and seems to be pretty safe. And all the studies I've shown look like you can take it for a long time.
Would you be in danger of dehydration if you took it regularly?
Only if you were having diarrhea. And if you're having diarrhea, then you need to back off on the medicine. Now, here's the thing. I recommend for people with chronic constipation, and I'm assuming, again, that you've seen your doctor and you've ruled out all the bad stuff. You know, if you have a change in your bowel habits, you need to get a colonoscopy done. We established that in the first segment. But so we're talking about benign chronic constipation. What you don't want to do is wait until you get constipated, then take a whole ton of Miralax, and then have diarrhea for 2 or 3 days, and then stop taking it, and then go back and being constipated again. And then the pendulum is just swinging back and forth and back and forth, where what you want to do is find a single dose that will work for you to every day. So if one capful of Miralax is too much, then you back off to a half capful, okay?
Yep.
And so find some dose that you can take every day. I don't recommend for young people especially to take the stimulant laxatives, and that's your Correctols and the Dulcolax and that kind of stuff, or Ex-Lax, to take it on a daily basis ever, because you end up becoming dependent on it. It actually kills the nerve complex in the gut, and so you can't move your bowels unless you take those medications. Mm. So don't recommend that. You going to ask a question?
Yeah, what about the blood? I can presume what that's from.
Oh, I mean, yeah, he did say that. Now, again, I'm assuming that they've gotten that checked out. Blood in the stool is one of those things that you want to check out, but 90% of the time it's probably going to be something benign. It will be that she's got a rectal fissure, and when she's passing a softball through her rectum, it's ripping tissue and she's bleeding. Yet another reason for her to get this taken care of, because it will eventually cause scarring and she'll have more and more problems passing this stuff. But I would say 90% of the time that's what's going to be. She could have diverticular bleeding too. People that have chronic constipation will have more of these pockets in the colon, and those pockets are thin-walled and they can bleed as well. So that's most likely. Now, if she's never had a scope, she needs one. Okay? All right. Well, let's go on. I think we have our obligatory Shannon from South Florida call.
Hey, Dr. Steve, P.A. John, and Double Vaz Long Dong. Hey.
What the hell is it? You've got fans out there.
Apparently, the bass is growing along with my schlong.
Shannon from South Florida. Hey, I've been thinking of getting a boob job, but I was talking with a friend of mine who already has a boob job, and she was saying that you have to get it redone every 10 years or so. What's up with that? Is that true? And if it is, what's the reason behind that? I don't think I want to do that if that's the case. But anyways, interested in hearing your answer. And y'all have a good night.
Okay. Shannon has trouble saying goodbye.
Yeah, she has exit phobia.
she does real well up until the point where it's time to go, and then she just sort of has...
lingers yeah. longer.
So,
Like you're going to pick up.
Yeah.
Right. Glad I caught you.
My advice for her, of course, is to have the breast implants.
Absolutely.
Because that's always a good plan. Oh, I'm just kidding. She would have to discuss that with her healthcare provider, but breast implants are not lifelong devices. There's two kinds that you can get now. There's a silicone would be silly. Silicone breast implants, and those are bags that are filled with silicone gel. And then there's the saline. Now, the saline devices tend to be less natural feeling, but for a while that's all you could get. And so they've gotten better at doing those. But the silicone tends to feel more realistic because it's a gel and it's just kind of got the consistency of regular breast tissue. They were taken off the market for a while when people thought that silicone was causing problems like lupus and rheumatoid arthritis and stuff when it leaked out, because they will invariably leak. But the FDA has decided now that they don't think that that's the case, and so they've allowed them back on the market again.
See, I would want to throw in that I don't know any body modification that you don't have to follow up on.
That's
because
right.
I'm kind of into body modifications.
Right.
Tattoos fade, piercings have to be continually cleaned and sometimes gauged and things like that. So this is no different, really.
Sure.
It's more like a transdermal thing where they put the stuff under the skin and it makes a pattern.
Yep.
So it's really the same logic.
That's a good point. It is body modification. It was... you know, tattooing is probably the oldest version of body modification. Circumcision is another one that's pretty ancient. Yep. And then, you know, as far as medical procedures are concerned, for cosmetic purposes, breast augmentation has been there for, you know, a few years. But I'm thinking less than 100 for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, you think so, yeah.
No, I know less than 100. Why did I even say that? It's because we're drinking beer and now I'm starting to get a little stupid. But
what's less than 100?
What? Yeah, yours.
Boob jobs.
No, he knows that. What? He's making a joke.
They put like burlap sacks in there or something. 100 years ago.
But 100 years ago, I don't know. Yeah, yeah, that was just stupid. It's, you know, in the last few decades, we've had breast augmentation. So, you know, if you have a breast implant, you'll eventually need additional surgery to replace or remove them. You know, and every woman's experience is different, but it is. The research I could do in the medical literature, the average is about 10 years before you need something done. And it may be because they leaked or because they're starting to look funny. And they will change with time, gravity, and they'll shift around. And sometimes you just get a breast implant that just looks wrong and it needs to be fixed.
Are they anchored in there in any way, or they just float?
Well, they're anchored simply by the tissue around them. Now, they can implant them sometimes under the muscle tissue, and then they're anchored by the just the tension between the chest wall and the muscle tissue.
Okay.
But otherwise they're not sewed in to some structure.
That's what I want.
You don't want them that way because breasts are supposed to be kind of freely mobile.
Mm-hmm.
Up to a point. So the operation to exchange old implants for new ones is pretty straightforward and really takes a lot less recovery time than does the initial surgery unless you're going up in size. Change the not only the size of your breasts, but the shape and feel of your breasts, and sometimes that'll require additional surgery as well. They may interfere with breast cancer screening, although most of the time now we can still detect breast cancer, and you still need to do self-breast exams even if you've got implants. And but they may need to do special views, and so you just make sure that you let them know up front that you've got breast implants. And one of the problems is, of course, when they do a mammogram, they take these two plates and they just make a boob sandwich out of it, and they really, really compress the breast to get mm-hmm. the best pictures. And that's not the best thing to do when you've got a breast implant in, especially if it's mm-hmm. tight. So they may have to use other modalities for that. But they're coming up with more and more stuff. MRI of the breast is coming to fore. Still pretty expensive, but that might be a way to do it. And there are other imaging procedures that would be good for that in the future. The other thing is that breast implants may hamper breastfeeding, and some women have decreased breast milk production or not produce any milk at all, but most of the women I know that have had breast implants and have breastfed have had no problems at all. So it doesn't interfere with the tissue that's attached to the nipple for the most part, that where the glands attach to the nipple and produce milk.
Well, good to know.
Yeah. So there you go.
So there's no reason not to have a breast augmentation. That's
what
you're saying.
I'm not exactly saying that.
Really uncomfortable.
Talk it over with your healthcare provider. But, if you want one, it's something that's accomplishable. Insurance usually doesn't pay for it unless it's for a reason. A medical reason like breast cancer or something like that. And if you've had a mastectomy, I think a lot of insurances will pay for reconstruction.
Cool.
All right. You're listening to Weird Medicine on XM 202, Sirius 197. We got about 30 minutes to go. And after the break, we'll try. We've got a question about pelvic pain and a vasectomy question. We're trying to get away from the stool questions for the rest of the show. Email us at drsteve202@gmail.com or call 423-343-8884. We will be live November 7th. We'll be right back after these messages.
Weird Medicine.
I'm just really constipated.
With Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve.
The original MTV VJs. Now on Sirius XM 80s on 8.
Hey, it's Mark Goodman. I'm one of the original MTV VJs. And now, I'm DJing.
Hey, you're not the only one, Mark. I'm Nina Blackwood. I host the weekly Big 40 Countdown.
Nina, I was getting to that, okay?
Kids, please. It's me, Alan Hunter, and I'm here every day as well.
And there's me, Martha Quinn, and you can hear Martha Quinn Presents every weekend.
Hear the original MTV VJs. Now on Sirius XM. 80s on 8.
Hate driving to work every day. It sure would be nice if I saw a nice pair of breasts to break up the monotony.
Oh, watch out!
You're gonna die anyway, so you might as well see some tits before you go. Get your WOW stickers today. Just send a number 10 self-addressed stamped envelope to Sirius XM Satellite Radio, The Opie and Anthony Show. Attention WOW stickers, 1221 6th Avenue, 36th floor, New York, New York, 10020. And try to make the best of your otherwise worthless and trite existence.
Ton Ostergaard, President and CEO of Crete Carrier Corporation, on the importance of his trucking company being debt-free.
Well, to be debt-free really reflects our 30-plus years of commitment to this industry. It's been a commitment since the company was started that we've worked hard to maintain, that we reinvest our earnings to make sure that we have the best equipment on the road, that we have good facilities, and that we have the flexibility to do what's right. And debt-free, I think, more than anything else, does reflect our commitment to our customers and to our employees that we're here for the long run. It also provides us the staying power that when there are the normal business cycles that exist, that we can ride out any storm and actually look at a downturn as an opportunity.
If you'd like to drive for a stable, debt-free carrier, apply online at creekcarrier.com or check out our temperature-sensitive division, Schaefer Trucking, at schaefertrucking.com. Creek Carrier Corporation. There are no shortcuts.
It's a fact. 40,000 businesses close their doors every month. Attention business owners. If you're getting collection calls, letters, judgments, levies, foreclosures, and don't take action, you could lose your business. However, if you want to pay your creditors, there is a solution without bankruptcy. If you need a loan, if you have tax problems, if you've used credit cards to support your business, you can get help before it's too late. Call Corporate Turnaround now. We'll give you a free consultation, and if you qualify, we'll help get your company out of debt. We offer a plan and a real solution, not just fluff or tapes. Corporate Turnaround has helped thousands of businesses get back on the road to success. Throughout the nation, 40,000 businesses close their doors every month. Don't let it be yours. We could change the fate of your business and your life. Call Corporate Turnaround now for free information and a free consultation.
For more information, go to www.helpmybusiness.net. That's www.helpmybusiness.net.
Individual results may vary, and program is not available in all states. Please review all program materials prior to enrollment. President Obama has taken bold steps to bail out our economy. From Wall Street to Main Street, AIG to GM, the names are flying. But he hasn't mentioned your name, has he? Well, this message is for you. If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, American Credit Card Solutions has a program and a plan to help. Call American Credit Card Solutions toll-free for assistance and free information. 800-881-4800. 800-881-4800. You shouldn't have to choose between food, clothing, and shelter or paying down your credit card debt. There's a way to do it all. So if you have a credit card debt of $10,000 or more, call right now for free information. 800-881-4800. That's 800-881-4800. 800-881-4800.
Owner-operators, do you know a company that helps you run the lanes you want and works with Hometime on your schedule? If you said Fikes Truck Line, then you're correct. If Hometime and profitability are important to you, then Fikes is the place for you. Fikes cares about your success.
This is Max Campbell with Fikes Truck Line. Start your story with us. Come grow with us and find a home, a family. We connect people with purpose. This is what we do. Visit Fikes.com or call 1-800-2-FIKES. That's 1-800-2-FIKES. T-O-F-I-K-E-S.
Gentlemen.
Number.
Sirius 197. Check. XM 202.
The virus.
Saturday night. Weather.
Saturday night.
Always.
Saturday night and I'm feeling kind of sporty. Went to the bar, caught me a 40.
Saturday night. The Saturday night virus. You're listening to Weird Medicine on the Saturday night virus.
We raise hell, bitch. We raise hell, bitch. We raise hell, bitch.
And welcome back, everyone. It's Weird Medicine on XM 202, Sirius 197. We're doing the three-hour Fecalicious Extravaganza with Double Vasectomy Todd, P.A. John, and Jefferson, the lawyer. We also have in the studio audience Susie and Rob from Elizabethton. We've lost Charlie Small Fry, and he had to take off. So anyway, he was... We tried to get him to do some on-air work, and he was just not going for it.
Bashful.
That's all right. He's a good feller. If he hangs around with us enough, he'll end up on the air. One of the things I just thought it would be interesting. You know, now that I think about it, it won't be interesting at all. I work in the hospital, and there's every country and ethnic, nationality are represented over there, and I got Weird Medicine in a bunch of different languages. And so on our regular hour show, you know, we always start off saying it's Weird Medicine, or in Italian, Strano Medicina, or something like that. And I found a bunch of just odd, I don't want to say they're odd languages, because to the people that grow up speaking them, it's their home languages, but just ones we don't hear a lot here, like Vichitra Arogyaseva. That's a language called Gujarati, which is part of it's a language spoken in India.
Hmm.
And then my favorite was Isan Hanyak, which is Korean. So anyway.
Cool.
Yeah.
Right on. Yeah.
Cool if you're a geek. Let's take a couple of phone calls here, and we got to wrap this show up. We've only got about a half hour left to go. John, you need anything? You doing all right?
I could use a...
Your diabetes kicking in?
No. I could use a cheeseburger.
I know. We're used to doing 50 minutes, and doing 2.5 hours has been kind of a trial. I hope it's not been too much of a trial for the listeners. You know, this is something new for us, doing a 9 to midnight show. And so this is new. On top of that, I'm coming off my Cymbalta, and I am just as loopy and goofy as I can be. I mean, I can get derailed so easy. And I don't, you know, so one excuse after another. And then, of course, we're drinking. So. Oh,
and so back to what that caller actually really wanted to know.
Which was that?
You were just talking about it.
I totally. Yeah. Oh, good one. See, and I'm so stupid and stupefied that I didn't even get that you were fucking with me. So that's good, John. That's good. Hey, Rob from Elizabethton's here, and he has a real quick question. You probably want to get closer to the mic rather than dragging that thing over to you. So,
I've got a friend who's got irritable bowel syndrome. He's tried 4-5 different medicines, none with any great success. Just wondering if you had any tips, tricks, suggestions to try?
No, I really don't. Okay, so anyway.
Next right. question.
No, just poor Rob. And he's so nervous, too. You're doing better on that, though, right? You're not as nervous as you used to be. Okay. We even put him on mic once, and we were talking about how he wasn't here, and it didn't make any difference, because he sits in front of the microphone with this expectant look on his face and then doesn't say a word for an hour. But he's a good failer, and he's P.A. John's type 1 diabetes butt buddy, so...
Why does it have to involve the butt?
Well, it doesn't have
That's
to.
What I mean, we have. Because you're on weird medicine with Dr. Steve.
Did you hear what Jefferson said? He said, that's what we asked. Why does it have to involve the butt, John? I want to let that line go.
Yeah, that was a good one.
But anyway, so let's talk a little bit about irritable bowel syndrome. Great, it's a great question. It is, you can have irritable bowel syndrome where you have a chronic abdominal pain, or it's called spastic bowel. Sometimes those are the people that have, where they eat something and then all of a sudden just have to go evacuate voluminous amounts of diarrhea from their colon. Other people will be constipated and have bloating and abdominal pain, and that's a form of irritable bowel syndrome. That's constipation predominant. And then there are people who have the diarrhea predominant. And then the hallmark irritable bowel syndrome are the people that go back and forth between being constipated and having diarrhea. Back and forth for their adult lives. And they have a hard time controlling that. The first thing to do with irritable bowel syndrome is increase the fiber in your diet. Once again, we're always talking about... Citricel and whoever is breathing into their mic, I'm going to fucking kill you, whoever it is. What? Who's breathing? One of you assholes is breathing. Stop breathing. All right. So maybe it's me. Obviously, I'm talking, so I must be breathing. So. I'm hearing someone in my headphones, and that, of course, I've drawn attention to it. So now that's all anybody's going to hear. Yeah, so increase the fiber in your diet. Citricel, great fiber. It doesn't cause bloating. It's inexpensive. You can buy it sugar-free if you're diabetic, or even if you're not, because you're not really wanting the sugar. You're just wanting the fiber. And it's soluble in water, no gritty taste. I swear I don't have stock in it. Just as a disclaimer, I think it's a great it's a great treatment for irritable bowel syndrome and any other poop problems. Now, if that doesn't work, then there are other medications out there that you can try. Amitiza, we mentioned earlier, is good for the constipation predominant folks. Miralax, again, for constipation predominant folks. But for those that go back and forth, I really highly recommend that people try a probiotic. Now, I'm assuming that you have gone to your doctor and ruled out all the bad stuff, okay? So, again, we said this before, if you have a change in bowel habits, get checked out by your medical provider. But assuming that all that's been ruled out and they've tried a bunch of medicines, you said your friend had been on 4 or 5 different medications without any relief, a probiotic is something to try. And a lot of doctors think it's malarkey. What these are beneficial bacteria that, because our bowel is full of bacteria. We live in a symbiotic relationship with all kinds of bacteria that start growing in our bowel within days of being born. And these bacteria will help us in digestion, and they help crack molecules that our body can't crack with the enzymes that we make by ourselves. And a huge portion of stool is dead bacterial bodies, okay? So good bacteria is really essential, and we lose that with our American diet and taking antibiotics, which our bodies weren't designed for, and other medications that we take. We can lose that colony of good bacteria. So one thing that you can do is buy freeze-dried bacteria, and bacteria are so simple that you can freeze-dry them and add water to them, and they come back to life. So you can take freeze-dried bacteria in the form of a pill, and there's one out on the market right now called Align, A-L-I-G-N, and you can actually get it at the Weird Medicine Drugstore if you want to. I'm not saying to do that, but it's there if you can't find it anywhere else. But you can find it on the drugstore, or a lot of grocery stores will have it. And it's a beneficial bacteria called bifidobacteria, and it's one that's been studied and shown to actually have beneficial effects. I mean, this is the science is good. And you would think that you could just take it a few times and reestablish a colony and then stop taking it, but in fact you have to kind of take it on and on. And so one capsule a day. There's another one out on the market called Flora Q2. That is bifidobacteria and lactobacillus. There's Activia, is a yogurt that has probiotic activity, and it has bifidobacteria in it as well. So
one of the things also with irritable bowel isn't, can it be partially induced by stress?
Absolutely.
So making sure that your buddy does something to alleviate stress, like and a great thing would be an exercise routine, something that
sure.
Or anything that reduces stress.
I'm a proponent of yoga. People think mm-hmm. that yoga is just weird stretching and it's fruity and all this stuff, but go get the Rodney Yee yoga, power yoga DVD, and mm-hmm. if you can do it the first time without it kicking your ass, I will give you a free Weird Medicine Stein from the Weird Medicine store.
Yeah, I'll never forget the first time I went in to do some yoga, and I thought I was just going to breeze right through it. And,
yeah.
Whew, it's a workout.
No, it is. It is it's an intense workout. You'll sweat, your heart will pound, and then at the end of it, they do this 5-minute relaxation thing, if it's only 5 minutes. And I'm telling you, that's the one time I had an out-of-body experience was at the end of the yoga session, doing the big relaxation at the end. And I can be so completely stressed out and then do the yoga routine, and I feel like, I mean, I've never taken Valium, but I imagine that's what it's like. You feel so good afterward. All the stress is completely gone. If you don't want to buy a DVD and you have a DVR, this will sound fruity. Go to Oprah's channel, The Oxygen Network, and at 6 in the morning, there's a guy called Steve Ross, and he does a show called Inhale. Just, you know, use your DVR. You can click through the commercials if you want to, and then it's like 45 minutes. So it's a 45-minute routine. He plays great music. He's funny. You don't have to do it perfect. He even says that, you know, if you just try to do it, you get the same benefit out of the people that are doing the big poses and stuff. And it is fantastic.
Yeah, and your body adapts pretty quickly. You get good at it faster than you think you will.
Yep, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I used to do Inhale every morning, so yeah.
Really?
I
well,
like
it comes on at 6 in the morning, and yeah. I'm not doing yoga at 6 in the morning, but that's what DVRs are for. And you could just, even if you don't have a DVR but you have a VCR machine, just record 5 of them and rotate through them, you know. But he doesn't sell DVDs, and I don't know why. I guess he's too pure.
I've looked all over the place for him on DVD because he's great.
You can, I know that there are probably illegal download sites that have it, you know, but it's Steve Ross, Inhale. And I'm not advocating that you bootleg stuff, but you know, he needs to come out with a DVD.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I recommend. So that's a great point, John. Stress is a big part of quote-unquote spastic colon, mm-hmm. and decreasing your stress level is good for all kinds of stuff, not just irritable bowel. So,
yep.
But I would definitely, if he's tried five medications, try the probiotics. It's probably one of the things that his gastroenterologist hasn't recommended, although more and more of them are recommending them. I got turned on to it by my gastroenterologist because he's into it, and that was something that I had completely just blown off as being stupid for years. And, you know, I could have been symptom-free all these years if I had just taken probiotics. So.
Hey, we have some more poop questions. I haven't heard enough today.
See what we got here.
Hey, Dr. Steve, this is Mike. I've got incredible man tits. Well, I want to get rid of them. And I've been reading up some of these supplements that are at the gym about testosterone supplements with a estrogen reducer in it. I was wondering, since I have diabetes, if I can take that, type 2, controlled by diet and metformin. If I can take that, and I was wondering if the fat burner that I was thinking about taking, since the only thing it has in it is some caffeine, not a lot, if I could take that, and if it's not considered a class 1 narcotic, you know, for the DOT, or, you know,
spit it out, man,
a drug test.
Yeah, okay. What he's asking is, the fat burners that are on the market, do they show up on your drug test? They are not narcotics. They are caffeine, though, and caffeine's really never been shown to be all that effective for getting rid of fat. Matter of fact, hydroxycut's been taken off the market. Ephedra's been taken off the market. And the FDA just came out with a notification that there are some bodybuilding supplements that claim to contain steroid-like ingredients. And they, in fact, contain synthetic steroids. And I'm just going to throw out some of these names. The FDA sent out a warning letter by American Cellular Laboratories and include Tren Extreme, Mass Extreme, Estro Extreme, and a bunch of others that have the words extreme, you know, X-T-R-E-M-E in them. And they recommended that people not take those because they've gotten reports of serious adverse effects associated with the use of these particular products and other similar products. And those were, liver problems and shortness of breath, jaundice, discoloration of the urine, nausea and vomiting, and a bunch of other problems like that. So I would tell Mike, it doesn't matter about the diabetes, I wouldn't take these. There are some testosterone-releasing substances out there, and what they are collections of amino acids. As far as I can tell, those are a ripoff. That there's no collection of – what they're doing is they're giving you – they find out what amino acids go into making testosterone, and then they give you a pill with a crap load of those in them, thinking that it will somehow push through the system and make you make more testosterone. But we learned in the first or segment that it's really a brain hormone that tells the testicles whether or not to make testosterone. And if that signal isn't there, they're not going to make testosterone anyway. Mm. Right.
Right.
So just taking the amino acids won't help either. If you have low testosterone, that's a whole other thing, you know.
Okay.
Then you go to your doctor and you say, and you get a testosterone test, and you've got low testosterone, and you get a testosterone supplement. That's the only time I can, in good conscience, recommend testosterone supplementation. If you're doing it for bodybuilding, the risks far outweigh the benefits, in my opinion. Now, I have bodybuilders email me and say, well, I've done it a bunch of times. And, you know, I would ask them, well, how large are your testicles now? Are they the size of a lima bean? And if not, maybe you weren't really getting testosterone.
Yeah.
You know?
So this guy's question was bitch tits.
Yes. Now, testosterone itself, taking a testosterone supplementation in the gym will not won't fix that. As a matter of fact, it can make that worse.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you take too much testosterone, Remember, we talked earlier about men make some estrogen as well as testosterone, and the ratio is just flipped for women. Women make more estrogen, a little bit of testosterone. Men make a little estrogen, a lot of testosterone. Well, if you increase the amount of testosterone in your bloodstream, some of that will be converted to estrogen. It'll actually make man boobs worse. So he was talking about a supplement that actually has an estrogen blocker in it, so then now the increased testosterone level won't cause the man boobs. Okay, so now you're taking yet another hormonal thing to block a signal that's normal in the human body and mm-hmm. to block it so that you are avoiding the adverse effects of the first thing that you shouldn't be taking either.
He said he was diabetic. Is it possible that he's got man boobs just because he's overweight?
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, that's a possibility. The other things that cause man boobs that are not normal, you know, other than just being fat, are medications like cimetidine, which is also called Tagamet. You can buy it over the counter as an acid reducer. Marijuana is another one that can cause gynecomastia or man boobs. So, you know, if he's doing any of those things, this is where if we had a live show, we could ask him the follow-up question. If he's doing any of those things, could he make a difference? I mean, could he cut some of those things out and see if they would go away?
So he probably looks like Meatloaf off Fight Club, right?
Fight Club, I was thinking that too.
Yeah, absolutely. Because didn't he have testicular cancer or something like that? Well, that was the deal?
He was a bodybuilder first, though, and he was taking all kinds of Adderall and all this stuff to build up, and then his body upped the estrogen, and he got bitch tits.
Okay, but wasn't
but he ended up with testicular cancer.
Right.
And I don't know if testicular cancer
It's been so long since I saw that movie. I thought he was at a testicular cancer support group. That's what they were there
for. Well, he was. That's how they met.
Okay, well, see, they will give medications to block testosterone and to enhance estrogen-like effects, mm-hmm. and patients' voices will get higher, and they'll get, gynecomastia and stuff from that. Because when you have prostate cancer, you want to throw a blanket on testosterone because increasing your testosterone intake is like throwing a kerosene on a fire.
Oh.
So that I always assumed, it's been a long time since I've seen that movie, so correct me if I'm wrong, but that it was the treatment for testicular cancer that made him the way he was in that.
I see. Well, but, is there any link between abusing testosterone and steroids and testicular cancer?
Not that I'm aware of, but I wouldn't be surprised. But there is a definite link between it and liver damage and liver malignancy. So, liver cancer is definitely something that you have to worry about when you're taking testosterone supplements. So, it's just one of those things that the risks just don't seem to be worth the benefits. But there are some folks out there that, they just want to look good and be strong and all that stuff, and they're willing to take any risk. But, if you have one of those long-term problems at the end of it, I wonder if you'd still think it's worth it. I don't know. Again, I'm sort of like Ronnie B. in that I'm not – everybody's got to make their own choices about things, but you need to be informed about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Internet – isn't always the best place unless you're going to a place like eMedicine. Or I'm going to give everybody a tip, is go to PubMed.org. That's PubMed.org. You can search the medical literature. That's where all of the science that's related to medicine is stored. And you can go back and you can evaluate the claims of nutritional supplements that are out there. If you see an ad for, let's think of something like...
weight loss?
Yeah, for something. Something with weight loss, you can go in there, look at the active ingredient, type it into PubMed.org, and then put "and weight loss" and see if there are any studies out there that show that the stuff works.
Mm-hmm.
And PubMed.org is where every person that's writing an article in the medical literature starts to see what's already out there. And so this is the gold standard for medical literature, and it's there. It's free for everybody.
Great.
So, all right.
Hey, Dr. Steve, I was wondering if you have a vasectomy, can you still come? Ejaculate. Same difference.
Wait.
I thought his chick corrected him.
I love this guy because his chick is in the background making him say the words right. Listen to it again. You can hear her in the background correcting him.
Hey, Dr. Steve, I was wondering if you have a vasectomy, can you still come? Ejaculate. same difference.
Did he argue with it?
Yeah, no, he's arguing with the same difference. Yeah. And he's right, it's the same. And we knew what he meant.
Mm-hmm.
She's probably not a listener and doesn't realize it's just perfectly fine to use colloquialism. That's the whole point, is to talk about this stuff honestly if we can, and in language that people understand. But anyway, not to belabor the point. The answer is yes.
Yeah.
Double vasectomy. Todd has had two vasectomies.
Absolutely.
And you still ejaculate just fine, right?
Yep, sure do.
Anybody in here know the composition as far as sperm versus semen? What portion of semen is actually sperm cells?
Pretty low.
It's 5%. 1%.
Ooh, one.
So 99% of what you ejaculate is not sperm cells. It's fluid to support the existence of sperm cells. And so when you get those tubes tied, the sperm cells just don't make it into the fluid, and they just sit there wondering, you know, what happened. And you know, the semen, you still ejaculate 99% of what you did before.
Wasn't there a movie that Woody Allen did?
Yes. Yeah, Everything You Want to Know About Sex But We're Afraid to Ask.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Yeah, and he's the sperm cell sitting in there going, what if he's masturbating? What if he's having a homosexual experience? Ew.
Yeah.
So what happens to your sperm if you have a vasectomy?
Well,
it can't sit there forever.
Yeah, they can. Sure.
So it's just going to, there's just not enough of them to matter?
Right.
I always assume that they would back up into your bladder or something.
No. It's you've got your anatomy a little bit off. The testicles sit there, and it's supplied by blood vessels and stuff from inside the body, so it's just hanging there. And then what you're cutting is the tube going from the testicle to the inside of the body. Yeah.
Right. Vas deferens.
Okay, right, the vas deferens. So that's why it's a vasectomy.
Mm-hmm.
And that tube goes up into the body and then joins with the seminiferous, seminal vesicles and prostate fluid to make semen plus sperm. So when you cut that, there's no place for it to back up to. Those cells are microscopic, and the ones that die are just resorbed. So they just sit there. It's just a plate where they just hang out and have a party for the rest of your life and just never do anything. You know,
Permanent vacation.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, the answer is absolutely yes. If you have a vasectomy, you can still ejaculate.
Or cum, whichever.
Right. Same difference. I want to hear that again. I want to hear her in the background giving him a hard time.
Hey, Dr. Steve, I was wondering if you have a vasectomy, can you still cum? Ejaculate. Same difference.
Same difference.
It just doesn't get old.
It's not a vas difference.
And I think before he called you, they had a bet. She's like, you need to give a vasectomy. And he's like, no, I bet you I can't come. And call Dr. Steve.
So, oh, my God. We totally forgot about CT and Jivin. We got to talk about this. And we might have time. Well, this would be a good way to end the show. I heard this on Ron and Fez.
I know Dr. Steve has never been in a radio war before. But now CT and Jivin are calling themselves Weird Science.
Really?
They stole the weird moniker.
Oh, wow.
Because of the massive success that Dr. Steve has had. And they're now calling themselves Weird Science. Their angle is fuzzy. They're two scientists. We never knew that about those guys.
Are they going to steal the angle about talking about NAD problems, too?
Yes, they are.
I don't know if that's science.
Well, they decided that science, the experience in dumping out of ONA and hanging up banners. So why not just keep running with that? And calling themselves Weird Science.
So I like CT and Jivin. I mean, I really do. I've listened to their show several times when they used to be on XM, and they're way more professional than we are. I mean, they're real radio guys, and they can talk without stammering like I do and losing their train of thought. And they do an interesting science segment. But we got this one question I just thought, and we've done Weird Science here. We did the whole thing about the Maunder minimum, where we predicted the sunspot cycle was not going to pick up, and we actually called that segment Weird Science. We've done that before. So we got this question.
Dr. Steve, I have a question. Where do the heavy elements come from? I know fusion in star stops when carbon fuses to iron, so where does uranium come from? I'll hang up and listen for your response.
Okay, first off, I want to know who that woman is.
She's not blonde.
She is, well, she may be. And I don't buy into that whole hair color equals intelligence thing, Todd. But I want to meet this woman, because anybody that calls this stupid show, where we've done three quarters of it was turd questions, and we talked about the Bristol turd scale and just laughed and laughed, and then she calls in asking where uranium comes from, because she knows that stellar fusion can't produce uranium. I have to meet this woman.
Right on.
So, but anyway, she's absolutely right, and so we're going to do a weird science segment. We've got 3 minutes left. And if you're just not into this, don't hang up or don't dial us out yet, because we got to plug Sam and Dave coming up after us. But the way fusion works in a star, which our sun is a star, we can't forget that. This is just a big ball of fusion. It's the coolest thing. Hydrogen combines in with enough under enough gravitational pressure to make helium. Okay, and then you burn up all your hydrogen, you make helium, and then you take all your helium and you put it together and you burn it to make carbon. And then you've got this big chunk of charcoal in there, but it's really, you know, in this plasma state, because there's so much heat and power behind it, that when you take the carbon and you fuse it again, you make iron. And when you do that, you can't fuse beyond that. It's impossible, because every element above iron, you're losing energy rather than gaining it. So the whole star collapses, and if it's big enough, you get a supernova, okay, because it runs out of nuclear fuel. So where does uranium come from? Well, there is a process by which these heavier molecules like iron that are being produced in the middle of a star can gain a neutron, because fusion makes neutrons, right? And neutrons ram into these nuclei and are captured. And then the next thing so now it's an isotope, right?
Yeah.
And then when that neutron decays, it decays to a proton. And now you've got a whole new element. And you can keep doing this, and heavier and heavier and heavier. It can take thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of years to do. And you now are making every element in the periodic table. And when that star explodes, then you're releasing all of those elements into the sky. And then when it recollapses again and there's enough hydrogen there to make a star, now you've got a planet like Earth that has uranium and polonium and gold and all those kinds of things that you cannot make through normal fusion. So take that, CT and Jivin, you fuckers.
Right.
And if you can answer questions like that, you can call your show anything you want. Now, really, the thing is, I stole the term weird medicine from the same place they're taking weird science from, which was from the movie Weird Science. I said, well, there's weird science. I had to come up with a name. I took 30 seconds and tossed off a note to Steve Carlisi, and weird medicine is where that came from. So
what they don't have is a on-air lawyer that's going to go trademark weird science.
Yes, we take PayPal. But anyway, good luck to them. I really mean that. I would love to hear them back on the air again. I really like them.
Yeah, they're good.
Listen to Sam and Dave coming up after us, I think. And we are out of town, we're out of town and out of time. We'll be back November 7th for Weird Medicine Episode 4, A New Hope. And thanks to Danny Ross, and thanks to E-Rock, and thanks to all you guys for being here. Leave us your medical questions for the next show at 343-8884. And as always, thanks go out to Opie and Anthony, Ron and Fez, without whom the show would not exist. For PA John and me, check your stupid numps for lumps. Numps for lumps. Check your nuts for lumps. Quit smoking, get off your asses, and get some exercise. And we'll see you soon for the next edition of Weird Medicine.
SiriusXM Book Radio is all the drama and suspense from your favorite stories brought to life. Plus, exclusive audio from your favorite authors. All this week on Book Radio, hear the first 10 chapters of author James Patterson's latest thriller, Alex Cross's Trial. Plus, an exclusive interview with the author himself.
It reads a little bit like a history, but it's a story that will keep you on the edge of your seats.
Sci-fi, westerns, biographies, mysteries, and more. And all this week, James Patterson on Book Radio, Sirius 117.
It's a fact. 40% of trucks with Charge air coolers over 2 years old are leaking. A leaking Charge air cooler not only means increased fuel consumption, which costs you more for fuel, it also means a loss of engine power and lost revenue due to downtime. That means wasted fuel economy and loss of engine power. Your truck's cooler provides it with a breath of cool, dense air. And in order to do this, it needs to be free of leaks and cracks. Have your cooler tested today, and if it's leaking, have it replaced with a Duralite, who manufactures the best Charge air cooler in the world. Imagine saving up to an estimated $400 or more a month just on fuel savings alone with a Duralite. Visit Duralite.net or call 1-800-661-1117 to find your nearest distributor. Or to get more information on the Duralite 7-year, 1-million-mile warranty.
In business, there are some things you need to know.
Mr. Wilson, our email is down.
And some things you don't.
Our primary domain controller got a corrupt OU, so we ran DC promo on it and demoted it to secondary domain controller and then promoted our secondary domain controller to the primary.
When it comes to email, all you really need to know is AppRiver. You know AppRiver is one of America's leading email security firms, but we also provide Microsoft Exchange hosting, giving you the best of both worlds. AppRiver makes it easy to get Outlook or Entourage mail from anywhere, including your cell phone. And for just $12.95 a month per user, you get unlimited storage. That means no more of those annoying, your mailbox is full messages. And security? We've got the best in the business. AppRiver protects your email from spam and viruses before they ever get near your servers. So you stay focused on what you need to know.
Yes, sir, that OU had some gnarly group policies that overwrote the standard user group policy.
Visit AppRiver.com. That's APPRiver.com. You run your business. We'll take care of your email. AppRiver.com.
Does your roof need replacing? Your house need cleaning? Or maybe you're ready to update your kitchen. Big or small, whatever your home improvement need, now it's easy to find the right home pro for your project. Log on to now.servicemagic.com. Service Magic is a free online resource with instant access to pre-screening remodelers, maids, handymen, painters, and many other home contractors. Just go to now.servicemagic.com. Service Magic has a network of licensed and insured contractors in hundreds of home improvement categories. If you need an electrician, plumber, architect, or any other home service, visit now.servicemagic.com. It's easy and it's free. And it's the source to find neighbor-recommended contractors in your area. Now you can hire a pre-screened home pro with confidence. Go to now.servicemagic.com. It's quick, it's free, and there's no obligation. Go to now.servicemagic.com. That's now.servicemagic.com.
And now, an important message from Penthouse TV.
Relax, it's okay, you are alone. A touch of silky skin, a breathless moan. Adult action just for you. Watch naked people screw. There's nothing you can't do in your own home.
Enjoy your private time. Order Penthouse TV and Penthouse TV On Demand. It's the hottest unedited adult action available on television.
Penthouse TV, fill your home with love.
The virus is an XL channel which may contain explicit language. Channel blocking is available by calling 1-800-XM-RADIO or for XM Canada, 877-438-9677.
Saturday Night Virus.
Having a bad day at work?
Can you please come into my office?
Oh, man. Someone cut you off in traffic?
Jesus Christ, man. What the hell?
Watch where you're going, Buster. Learn how to drive.
Catch your best friend in bed cornholing
like
your wife.
You dirty girl. You like that.
You like that. I'm making your husband jealous.
What is this?
He wishes he had a cock as big as mine.
Excuse me? But what is his dick
doing in your ass.
Yeah, that's right. Your wife likes in the shitter.
You need to call the Opie and Anthony FU line. Call 866-FU-LINE-1 and say FU to the people who piss you off most. You won't get fired, you won't cause an accident, and you won't go to jail for shooting your adulterous whore wife.
I'm coming!
It's the Opie and Anthony FU line. That's 866-FU-LINE-1. And if your call doesn't suck, it'll make it on the air.
Wow. Whoa, what is this? A trap on our front lawn?
Yeah, it's a trap. I'm going to catch that stack of money with the googly eyes right there, the money I could be saving with Geico.
But it's right there in front of you. Just get it.
Where's the fun in that? Then I wouldn't get to use these 200-pound springs or these laser sensors.
Well, it'd be a lot easier to just call Geico. I mean, it's what normal people do.
Well, then I guess I'm just more adventurous than most.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com.
Did you know the most common cause of blindness in people age 60 and over is a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration? Wet AMD doesn't happen overnight, though in some people it can develop very quickly. It begins with symptoms, including wavy lines, hazy vision, and blurriness. So if you aren't seeing clearly, see an ophthalmologist and get checked now, because early detection followed by proper treatment by a retina specialist is key. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
Did you know that most credit counselors are working for the credit card companies? It's true. They're practically collection agencies themselves. Don't turn over your financial future to them, because I've got a system that can eliminate your debt once and for all. To prove it, I'll send you a powerful free tape today.
I owed over $30,000 in credit card debt, and today, only a year and a half later, I owe no money to the credit card companies.
Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transform Debt into Wealth System. My system doesn't consolidate your debt, it eliminates it, using just the money you already make. No credit card debt, no car payment, no mortgage.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
I'm completely debt-free now, thanks to John Commuta.
Don't hand over your future to credit counselors. Call now, and I'll rush you my free tape today. Call 1-800-881-8717. For your free tape, call 1-800-881-8717. 1-800-881-8717.
At Westwood College, we've come across some statistics. And according to statistics, 3 years from now, your life probably won't look much different than it does today. Well, lucky for you, you don't have to live according to statistics. Because with a bachelor's degree from the online campus at Westwood College, 3 years from now could mark the beginning of a whole new life. With Westwood, 3 years from now means you could already have your degree and be starting your career in business, technology, justice, or design. Westwood's online tools make it easy to work with your instructors and classmates. And with the flexibility of online classes, it's easy to create the schedule that fits your life, taking classes whenever and wherever you want. 3 years from now, your life could be the same old thing. But with a bachelor's degree from Westwood College, it doesn't have to be. Call today for your free career success kit and see what can happen in just 3 years.
Call 1-800-409-4719. That's 1-800-409-4719. Call today for your free success kit. 1-800-409-4719.
Snyder's of Hanover brings you pretzel sandwiches. Real creamy peanut butter or cheddar cheese nestled between two crunchy, bite-sized pretzel snaps. Hearty, wholesome, satisfying. Snyder's pretzel sandwiches give you more to love than ordinary snacks. The perfect snack the whole family will love, at home or on the go. After all, the best things in life are made to be shared. Snyder's of Hanover. Share the best.
The Saturday Night Virus.
The 2009 NASCAR Sprint Cup Series Chase Field will soon be set. And Sirius NASCAR Radio
takes you trackside.
When the checkers wave at Richmond, you'll hear from all 12 of the 2009 Chase competitors live. Then, Joplin Myers and Rick Benjamin will take you live to the Hard Rock Cafe in Times Square on Thursday, September 17th. From 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern, they'll be joined by all 12 drivers for a party you won't want to miss. The world's only broadcasting outlet covering NASCAR 24/7, 365. Sirius NASCAR Radio, Channel 128.
It's a fact. More than 13 million kids can't afford basic school supplies. Make a difference and join the Do Something 101 campaign. Together with your kids, collect new binders, pens, notebooks, anything that students will need for back to school this fall. From July 5th to September 19th, bring the supplies to any Staples store nationwide or donate $1 at the register, and they'll get them to students who need them most right in your neighborhood. Get all the info at dosomething101.org.
Drivers, are you ready to go from hauling freight to just plain hauling? Get paid faster and win big with Trip Pack Truck Stop Scanning. Every time you scan your trip documents through Trip Pack Truck Stop Scanning at TA, Petro, Flying J, and other participating truck stops, you will be entered to win a Harley-Davidson motorcycle. Don't forget to write your name and number at the top of your scanning page. Visit TripPack.com for official rules. Get paid faster and win big with TripPack Truck Stop Scanning.
How would you like to save hundreds, even thousands of dollars on your mortgage every month? At American Equity Mortgage, now you can.
Get to a better place.
I'm Deanna Doherty, president of American Equity Mortgage. For a limited time, take advantage of our low fixed rates in the fours. That's right, fixed rates in the fours. But you must act now before rates go up. We haven't seen rates this low in years, but they won't last long, so don't wait. As your home loan expert, American Equity Mortgage can close your loan fast, so you can start saving money right away.
Now's the time to call for low fixed rates in the fours at American Equity Mortgage. Call now, 800-236-2600, 800-236-2600.
Or apply online at AmericanEquity.com.
Take advantage of low fixed rates in the fours at American Equity Mortgage. Call now, 800-236-2600. Equal housing lender.
So you want to stop smoking. Well, here's what I want you to do. Go to a drugstore and take a stop smoking product off the shelf. Go to the cashier, tell them you don't want to pay for the product, you just want to take it home and try it. And if, and only if you stop smoking, will you then come back and pay for it. Most likely, if you tried this, you'd be arrested. But as silly as this sounds, this is exactly what the Smoke-Free free trial offer is. Smoke-Free is a complete all-natural stop smoking system. And when you call today, they'll send you a 30-day supply of the program absolutely free. This program eliminates withdrawals and cravings and includes a 30-day supply of the Smoke-Free capsules, a guide to living smoke-free book, audio and video support, capsule holder, and a bottle of weight loss capsules just in case you're worried about gaining weight while you're trying to quit. To find out if you qualify for this free trial offer, join the tens of thousands who have quit for life with Smoke-Free. Call 1-800-214-4174 today. That's 1-800-214-4174. This is a limited time offer, so call 1-800-214-4174 now.
And now, another truck tip from Progressive Commercial Auto Insurance.
One car coming directly at you could be a fluke, but 10? You're in the wrong lane.
How did Progressive become America's number one truck insurer? By delivering great rates and service and getting our customers back on the road fast. To learn more, contact your local independent agent or visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. Going with an industry leader, now that's Progressive. United Financial Casualty Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio, available in most states.
The virus is an XL channel which may contain explicit language. Channel blocking is available by calling 1-800-XM-RADIO or for XM Canada, 877-438-9677.
The virus.
Special delivery with Sam and Dave.
It's
special delivery
with Sam. Starring Sam
and Dave. And Dave.
Special.
On Sirius 197
Special
XM 202
and then
Special
the
delivery
with Sam
and then
Special
delivery
with Sam
and
then see that fits our show. That's what we need.
From the SiriusXM studios in New York City, it's Special Delivery starring Sam and Dave. And now your host, Sam and Dave.
Wow. Thank you very much, Rudolph the announcer. And yes, this is Special Delivery, a fresh, new, brand new take to live to tape special delivery.
They said it couldn't be done. They said there's too many vacations. It's Labor Day weekend.
There was many things Well, let's say first. First of all, let's introduce ourselves. My name is Eastside David McDonald.
Where do I know you from somewhere.
I appear sometimes on the Ron Fez program.
How often?
Sometimes. You, on the other hand, are special delivery primetime Sam Roberts.
Actually, my name is Primetime Sam Roberts, and you may better know me as Sam from the Opie and Anthony show. That's weekday mornings here on The Virus. But we come to you on Saturday nights as Sam and Dave, the stars of special delivery. Now, people say, why don't you just call it the Sam and Dave show? That's because Sam and Dave is already copyrighted. It's a band. It's the band you're hearing
now. They're the band that's playing currently.
Yeah, that's something a lot of people didn't...
You know, Sam.
No,
I'm going to turn off the old cell phone.
Please do.
You know, Sammy, this was one of my favorite parts in the Blues Brothers.
What? This is so weird.
Yeah. But this song appears in the Blues Brothers.
Yes, yes, that is correct. But we're coming at you with a brand new show. We've been off for a couple weeks. We had a live 3-hour spectacular. That was the last time we heard from you.
Well, it was called by most radio insiders as the greatest 3 hours in the history of radio.
Yeah.
Those insiders obviously include Opie,
mm-hmm.
my parents,
yeah,
your little brother,
yes,
and Eric E-Rock Nagel.
Yeah, and E-Rock, is he still in there? E-Rock is here with us. This evening.
He was.
He was. He's not there anymore.
I don't see him.
Okay.
He's left his post.
Okay, well.
To do other things.
He'll be in and out as the guest producer this evening. And we're coming.
He's coming back, Sam!
Okay.
He's back, and there's Eric Nagel. And Eric, I recall you saying, the last live special delivery show was the greatest 3 hours you ever heard.
It was fucking fantastic, Dave.
Wow. With the language.
I mean,
but that's
still,
how awesome it was.
He's so much better than Scruffy and Pepper, I think.
Way better. Well, I mean, Scruffy is
bad. Well, yeah,
bad.
Not Pepper. He's not better than Pepper yet.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to stay in here for the whole show and play the beds the way Pepper does. He's the master of it.
I might be around.
That's what I thought.
I take back what I said about him being better than Pepper and Scruffy. They wouldn't leave us.
That's true. They wouldn't. Maybe he won't either. But, Dave, the thing
Sam?
Is we've left the audience because we have been trading back and forth with vacations. See, the Opie and Anthony show was on vacation for the last 2 weeks, but the Ron and Fez show...
We're on vacation this week.
Yeah, your homestead is
well,
on vacation.
Were, yeah, I mean... Yeah.
Was on vacation this week.
Still is, because we have off on Monday. Labor Day.
Yeah.
Both shows, right?
Oh, yeah. No Opie and Anthony on Monday. This is actually the last live show.
This will be the last original content you hear until Tuesday.
That's correct.
So, you know, a little thanks, Sam and David.
You know... Maybe a little email, specialdeliveryshow@gmail.com if you want to thank us. But Eastside Diddy McDonald.
Sam?
What did you spend your vacation doing?
I will tell you one thing, Sammy. The rock band, Drunken Rock Band, is an epidemic.
Is it a staycation?
For me, no. We went to, in the beginning of the week it was. Mm-hmm. I stayed home for one reason only. I said, you know, I have to come in and do some business. In the radio station.
Wow, okay. No all vacations right, right. for some of us.
But I then went to Lake Winnipesaukee, home of Fun Spot. Played
really?
Some fucking rounds of Donkey Kong.
Oh, that is fun.
Yeah.
That is exciting.
Took new pictures of me with the
nude pictures.
N-E-W with me with Billy